Wendy, Ryan Burrow is right.
Which time?
Ryan Burrow's right.
I just did the news. I hope I was right on some of that stuff.
On almost every story, Ryan, you were correct in the things you reported. Most notably the fact that on a day like today where you'd say, I wouldn't mind watching a baseball game or a hockey game or a basketball game or a football. You can't because they just don't have any sports. They have soccer, but this is America, so.
WNBA action, women's, basketball, the Chicago Sky are taking part in a game, yeah. Well, you know, we're interesting. I actually went to their practice yesterday.
Did you?
And the players got together and were talking about Black Lives Matter shirts, whether or not they would agree to wear it. So I reached out to their PR department to see if indeed they're going to wear those shirts. You know, in Minnesota, the team there wore the shirts and came out, basically kind of scathing police in a,
right.
in a big kind of public statement. And, some of the police officers actually walked off the job. So kind of interesting to see what the Sky decide to do before this game.
It's very controversial.
Want to get involved or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you didn't watch the All-Star game by any chance, did you?
No, I didn't.
You didn't watch it, Ryan? Did you watch it?
Saw a little bit of the middle innings. You know, I saw it when it was 4-2, and that's how it finished. So.
And it did end that way. Chris Bryant got a home run off of Sale.
Chris Sale?
Yeah. He pitched the first inning.
The Battle
and
of the Chris's.
Gave up. The Battle of the Chris's.
Spelled differently.
Right. That was played out before our eyes. I will say this. There was a moment in the All-Star game that nearly brought me to tears. There was something toward the middle of the game that was very, very emotional.
Dave Bennett wants to jump in.
Oh, sure. Dave?
I was watching.
You watched the All-Star game yesterday?
Yes.
So I don't know if you saw this. If you saw the whole game, of course you saw this. Towards about the fifth or sixth inning, they did this thing. Stand Up for Cancer, mm-hmm. Stand Up to Cancer was
yes.
a big element in the game yesterday, a sponsor. So they had all the players and all the coaches and everyone involved with the game just stop in the middle of the game and hold up a card that said, I stand for, and then there was a blank space where you would write in the name or names of people that you lost to cancer. And boy, was that emotional.
And we were talking earlier with Lauren Majera from Channel 9, who was out there, and talked to some of the players about it. And the players were asked to write down the name of someone they knew who had been affected by cancer.
Yeah.
And she mentioned that Jose Quintana of the White Sox really sat and pondered it for a long time. And I mean, this was something that the players took very seriously.
I'm trying to remember the name that was on his card because it was a sort of unusual name. And I can't remember what it is right now, but I just thought, I don't know who that is for Quintana on his card.
I believe it was his. It was his father, I thought.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yes.
Yeah. August someone?
Yeah. I think that's it. I think it said August. That's right.
I was channeling that.
That's right. Wow.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin knew that? Wow, that was amazing how you did that. But boy, to just see a major sporting event just stopped to take a moment like that. And they had a girl on singing a song, and I had heard the song, but I didn't know who it was. My daughters explained to me who that is. That was a big hit for this girl. About overcoming things, and it was a beautiful
moment. It was that fight song.
This is my fight song.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, that's really touching.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was really, really, really nice. And they did that also earlier in the game. You know, Big Poppy's retiring, Wendy. We've discussed this. Big Poppy, this is the last year for Big Poppy.
I know.
They're looking for a
Who's
new Big Poppy
again?
From the Boston Red Sox.
What's
David
his
Ortiz
yeah,
is his
right.
real name. But when he took his last swing, everybody just kind of went out on the field with him. And
that's pretty great.
Yeah, that was nice. That was really
a nice
moment. He's beloved. He really is. People in baseball, people who know him in and around the game, they have nothing but good things to say about
Big
Poppy.
He's kind of a goofball, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you remember after the Boston Marathon bombing, when they had the day at Fenway Park where they honored the first responders,
mm-hmm.
I believe, and he took the mic. I think this was the occasion. And he took the microphone and he dropped an F-bomb.
He swore a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes,
and
yeah.
And yet,
I know the swearers.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, he went virtually without criticism for that because
everybody understood.
Yeah. And
everybody said in that moment, yeah, he was speaking his mind. And in that particular moment, even people who really believe, oh, that there's no place for that sort of thing, they went, oh, Big Poppy. He's right. Here's the weird thing about him. The man is 40 years old, and at that point, when you're an athlete, That's the beginning
that's
of the
senior
end.
Years.
And he's having like the best season of his life. And he's already announced, no matter what happens, I'm retiring. You need to find a new Big Poppy because I can't be Big Poppy anymore.
Yeah.
But he's great this year. He's always been great. But this year, wow.
He was not a sympathy vote for the All-Star game.
No.
I mean, he was there on merit.
Yeah, he's having a tremendous season. And many people have said, well, this is all a ruse. Big, if you were having the kind of your Big Poppy's having, well, you would
never said that sentence, Big but I might start.
Think about it, Wendy. You've had good seasons, but if you were having a Big Poppy type season, you would not hang up your cans. Your headphones.
Oh, my headphones. Your headphones. I thought you meant the other cans.
No. You'd stay in the game, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
So. I would hope you would stay in the game. So,
well, that's a lovely moment, and I can see where it would have touched you.
Oh, it was yes.
The other one, Bill, pregame. I don't know how much of it you saw when they named the batting championships after Rod Carew, and Tony Gwynn, the late Tony Gwynn, whose family, including Tony Gwynn Jr., who's of course played in the major leagues, they were out there on the field. And I thought that was a really emotional moment.
That was nice, too. And I didn't know the story. Tony Gwynn, who died way, way, way too young and is without a doubt one of the best hitters that our generation has ever seen. He played for the San Diego Padres for a bunch of years. Chris Sale says that he saved his life.
How about that?
Chris Sale's life because Chris Sale was one of those guys who chewed tobacco all the time. And that was a major contributing factor in Tony Gwynn's death.
Mouth cancer?
Salivary gland cancer.
Oh, my God.
And Chris Sale said, this was on Monday, he said that the day that he heard that Tony, I think it was the day Tony Gwynn died, and he heard what had killed him, that he quit chewing.
Yes.
And that's a message which really needs to get to kids.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
It's nothing but dangerous. It's amazing that people still... Well, I guess you could certainly say that about smoking, too. But it's amazing. People know the pitfalls of something like chewing tobacco. And yet, it's not as common as it was 10 years ago, but people are still doing it.
Well, kids are doing it again. I mean, there are teenagers that are doing it.
Yeah. And starting yesterday, it's no longer allowed at Chicago's ballparks.
Oh, is that right?
It was yesterday. Yeah, July 12th is when the new rule went into effect. It is already in effect at other ballparks across the country, but players are no longer allowed at Wrigley and U.S. Cellular Field to chew tobacco.
It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Can I get Andy in really quickly? Because this is something that I think may have been lost or forgotten about our talk about baseball and cancer. Andy, thanks for calling in. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent.
I was anxious to know if anybody there in the studio or you're talking to knew about Anthony Rizzo. And I'm sure you guys, I'm sure Dave knows, that he has had Hodgkin's, I believe, when he was 19.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they had this lovely foundation. He's like miraculous.
He is, isn't he?
In every way.
Yeah, not just Anthony Rizzo, but remember John Lester also.
No, I didn't know that, Dave. What did he have?
That was when he was in Boston. It was early in his career.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. He was diagnosed with lymphoma. I think he was like a rookie at the time.
Wow.
And so he has a foundation, and he's very active in fighting cancer as well.
Wow. How about that?
I did not know that either. Ha, ha, ha. But Anthony Rizzo strikes a chord with me because I have a grandson that was also diagnosed at the same age, was in remission now, and he's like 21. So he's a role model.
I'm glad he's doing well. Yes. Andy, thank you. Yes. Appreciate the call. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And you think the chewing tobacco, I mean, you think in your head it's not as bad as smoking.
Yeah.
But it certainly is.
Yep. No question. Yep. All right. A quick break. We're talking about last night's All-Star game. And Wendy, of course, very distraught over the news about Big Poppy hanging up his cleats.
Does that Big Poppy mean? Like Big Daddy?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. He's not hip to this.
When you see him, like if a dozen guys walked past the studio and I said, Wendy, one of those guys is Big Poppy. Which of those guys is Big Poppy? You would choose the right man.
Doesn't Keenan on SNL do a big pop? Okay, I know hysterical. Who he is. Then it is really
it's
good.
It's a great impression.
That
it is
good.
All right, a quick break and then more thoughts. If you want to jump in, we'd welcome you at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I would like a fathead decal of Gilbert Gottfried.
Wouldn't that be a nice thing? Who wouldn't like something like that? We're talking about last night's All-Star game. The American League won 4-2. Grace knows something. I didn't see the whole game. I saw most of the game, but Grace has some information I wasn't aware of. Hi, Grace.
Hi, good morning.
What's up?
It was before the game, and Frank Thomas was there, and Pete Rose was sitting next to him, and there were a couple other announcers at this long table. And I thought Pete Rose was banished from baseball.
Isn't that weird? I wonder why he was allowed into this.
I don't know. And he looked he looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
Pitch black hair and a bow tie. You wouldn't know him if you saw him walking down the street.
I just heard him on with Howard Stern, and he still thinks there's a chance he's going to get into the Hall of Fame.
He does.
But I'm surprised they let him there.
But you know what? I think he was at some event in Cincinnati. Was it at the beginning of the season or the end of last season? I think they were letting him into a game in Cincinnati, so maybe they've been a little lax on stuff like that.
Correct.
Lately.
He is not in all likelihood going to get into the Hall of Fame, but the league did say that basically if the Cincinnati Reds want to honor him, they can, and they did just a few weeks ago, actually.
Was
they put
that
him in
recent?
There.
Yeah,
it was. I can't remember if they've got a Hall of Fame or a ring of, I don't know what it is, but they did honor him on a Sunday just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I was just surprised when I saw it. I couldn't believe it because I emailed my sons and they were surprised too.
How about that?
He was banned from any form. I mean, I know obviously he was banned in coaching or managing,
right.
But he couldn't even like attend a game.
I don't remember, Ryan. Do you remember how they worded it?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went. Anything associated with Major League Baseball, they didn't want him to be a part of.
Right.
But you know, they loosened that a little, but all but shut the door. The commissioner took a look at the case again. You know, obviously all these people have been calling for him to be, you know, eligible for the Hall of Fame again. That did not happen, but they're starting to loosen some of the things that he can surround himself with and be around.
Well, thanks for pointing that out. Thanks, Grace.
Thank you.
Wendy, I want to warn you, as I mentioned, Big Poppy is hanging up his cleats. There'll be no more Big Poppy. If I know your kids have birthday parties. If you hire an entertainer named Big Peppy, that's not the same as Big Poppy. I know he like Big Peppy likes to come and give the kids tips on hitting and things.
He gives them tacos.
Right.
Peppy's
you're
tacos.
Wasting your money. If you hire Big Peppy, he's not as much fun.
I will cancel that party.
Yeah, you don't want to have him in. Now, I've been a baseball fan my whole life, and I've watched a lot of All-Star games, and something occurred to me yesterday, like when I was a kid and I'd watch the games, or even up until a couple years ago, I knew almost every player. Like, it was very rare that a guy would come up and I'd go, I don't know who that guy is. Last night, there was nearly 8 or 9 guys that either pitched or came in and hit, and I went, I've never heard of this guy once.
Is that because you're not as into it as you were? I know you still love baseball, but as a kid, you really memorize numbers,
right.
And you really get into it. Is it just that there's so much turnover and so many new players?
Here's what I think it is. Joe Buck explained yesterday to people watching. He was one of the announcers on the game.
I go hot and cold with him,
with
by
Joe
the
Buck?
Way. Sometimes I'm like, this guy's great. Sometimes I'm like, God, he bugs me.
I think a lot of people are like that. He was pointing out that the All-Star game now is a lot of younger guys. Like in the older days, you'd say, wow, that guy's been in baseball a long time,
legends.
But you really have him in there. And it's changed dramatically. One of the teams, I think the American League team, the starting team, didn't have anybody over 26 or 27 years old at the beginning. That's really unusual.
That is weird.
Yeah, because it used to be all the guys that were vets and you knew forever, that's who your players were. And now it's almost the opposite. There were so many guys I never heard of yesterday.
And isn't that what you want? It's like when you go see a classic rock band, you want to see those songs.
Play the hits.
Yeah. And so don't you want the hits playing in baseball?
You would imagine.
Those are the sabermetrics playing effect, though. You know,
that is
a lot of these owners and general managers, they're following numbers as opposed to, you know, people's past and their history. And you know, so they're elevating some of these younger guys higher on the team, more responsibilities. And that's why we're seeing this.
That's it. That's it, exactly. Still a fun game. I mean, I was hoping for a National League victory because it's better for the Cubs should the Cubs win, you know, get as deep as...
How are the Cubs doing?
They've had some trying times.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some trying times.
Okay, is this going to be your year?
That's tough.
All right, we'll take
a
break.
That's tough. Big Poppy's retiring, Wendy. Did I mention Big Poppy's retiring?
Did.
All right, we have to take a quick break. Ryan's going to give you the news next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Ryan, thank you very much. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. You can call in or text in at 312-981-7200. Wendy, as you know, there's a lot of fads and trends that just kind of come and go. Like, you know, it's very popular is to fill up a phone booth with people. That's very popular. You know that.
When was that popular,
and
Bill, in the 40s?
And to sit on a flagpole is also very popular. And the Charleston is huge. Well, there's another one. Think about that, though. The ones I just mentioned, obviously, are from days
they
long gone.
Rages.
But people did that. That was like a thing, is to see how many people you could get in a phone booth. That was a thing.
Was it crazy college kids that did it?
I don't know who did it. I have no idea who. I guess it would be college kids. Why would anyone want to do it?
Because little kids wouldn't care.
Right. Little kids wouldn't know what a phone booth is.
Does anyone still hold toga parties?
I hope not.
Okay. I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
Somewhere. Yeah. All right. So there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of these. Well, here's a good one you might want to participate in. It's called fish brying.
What?
Fish brying.
I thought, first of all, when
I'm
you told me
Norwegian.
Off the air,
I'm speaking Norwegian.
I thought you said the fish bra craze.
Yeah, I did, but then
bra?
I added ing. Yeah, here's what you do, mostly for women, but not exclusively for women. You catch a fish, you have to go to a lake or a stream, and you catch a fish, then you take your top off, and you hold the fish up to cover integral parts of yourself, and then you take a picture of it and you post it to social media so that people can see the fish you caught. Isn't that exciting?
I do plan on going fishing before the summer's out.
You have to do it then. All the kids are doing it.
But I just catch little tiny minnows. I need a bigger fish.
I think that might be better. We're going to need a bigger boat.
They're pasty fish.
Right.
What? Who's doing this?
Oh, everyone.
Babe Winkleman's wife started this?
Mrs. Winkleman is up on this. She's doing this. Everybody's doing this. It says, let's kick off your week with another trend. This is from mandatory.com, which means you have to read it. Let's kick off your week with another trend that social media is going crazy for, and that is fish bras. More specifically, hashtag fish bra. You have to say hashtag or people won't know what you're talking about. While there are plenty of dumb trends out there and things that most definitely should be banned from the internet, we have to admit that fish bras aren't exactly a terrible thing. Who's Although when you see these pictures, you're stuck, or I'm stuck anyway, because you don't know how to react to these, because you want to be excited and go, oh, look, there's an attractive woman and her top is off. But then you go, but she's holding up a trout, and that's not attractive. I mean, it could be, but it's not.
So it's a good-looking fish, though.
It is a handsome fish.
That's a ginormous fish.
But that shouldn't be a person's reaction when you see a topless woman on the internet. That's a handsome fish. That's a good-looking fish. You know what I mean? You're stuck as to how to react to this.
Well, it's stupid, first of all. Second
no,
of all,
stupid.
There is someone who's posing with a small shark,
yeah,
and she is
That's
not topless.
Cool.
Now, that woman is breaking the rules of fish brine because
yeah,
she has her top on. You're supposed to take it off and hold the fish up to cover yourself.
But then there's another woman who has taken, meaning she wins the prize, whatever prize that might be, some worms, some bait, I don't know.
Some bait.
There are two reddish-colored fish facing each other, looking like they're kissing,
right,
and one's in front of one girl and the other fish is in front of the other girl.
Now, I'm a purist. I think that's the way it should be, is you catch not one but two fish like this woman's doing and hold them up, because that's more in keeping with the title of the game, isn't it? Fish brying. You want two of them there. Everybody else is just holding
up
one.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
That's not the same.
One fish, two fish.
I'm only half Jewish. It
Don't,
says
there's a young man that you get very
I know every time I mention
that
somebody texts
you
us very upset.
You can't be half Jewish.
I know. Here's what it says. It says, this trend, fish brying, involves women posing topless while covering their goods with the catch of the day. So instead, yeah, now Wendy's showing me more pictures.
And
now
you're
again,
looking at them.
That should be exciting. Because what you have there is a topless woman on the open sea. That's every man's dream, is a topless woman on the open sea. But she's got a mackerel in front of her.
Holy mackerel. Egg.
Holy mackerel is right. So you go, oh, that is almost exciting, but it isn't because there's a big fish in front of her.
Yeah, but you're not. If it's if see the point of this, it, this woman has won for me, and I'm
oh,
a woman.
Now this woman, this attractive woman,
we
has,
can put this link up by the way on our Facebook page because we are talking about visible things.
NSFW.
Not safe for work.
Not safe for work. NSFM. Not safe for the marina. Because this, well, here's what this woman has done, and this is very mermaidy of her. Is she has two starfish that she's holding up at the appropriate places, and I think that is, I think we have our winner. I think she's the best of these.
And they technically are a fish.
Yeah, starfish are fish.
I don't think really they are.
They're not. They're
not.
She's using them. She's convincing me. Whatever she's doing, I've been won over to the dark side.
See, I was with you, though, Wendy. I was into the specifics of it. Like, is the starfish a fish? Did these girls actually catch these fish? I mean...
But that's not what a young man like Kevin should be thinking when he sees topless women on the open sea.
But you're not seeing them being topless because there's a couple undercarriage shots.
Right.
And a couple side views. But for the most part, they're not topless because you're just seeing a lady holding a fish.
Yeah. Right, that's true.
I'm going to Oak Park Pet and Fish, and I'm just going to get something there.
Get some bettas, or betas, or bettas. Are they betas?
Oh, my gosh.
What do you got there? Yeah, now, this woman, all right, she technically is doing the right thing, but what she's holding up is some bird's eye frozen cod in a bag.
It's so a TV that's still dinner. Fish. That's not a bag. Is it?
Oh, is it a TV dinner? Is that what
I
it
don't
is?
Know, but it's...
Yeah, so again... They're all being a little loose on the rules of what this game is.
They are all very loose. Morally, or they wouldn't be
morally
participating in this.
What if you were paging through these and it was your mom? Wouldn't that be weird? Like some guys on the internet, he's going, oh, that girl's hot. Look at that girl. She's got, oh, look at that. There's a trout and a what? Oh, wait a minute. That's my mom. That would be a weird moment, wouldn't it?
Only you. Only you would come up with that. Let's see if I know some of these girls.
Yeah, that's what you got to find out. Hey, that girl's in our art department. Somebody's looking at it right now. I know that girl. So will this trend continue, or is this like a one and out? Yeah.
This woman has, there are various apps that you can get. Aviary, I believe, is one of them. And for free, you can blur something out, because sometimes I blur that giant snake vein in the top of my forehead.
Sure.
But she has blurred out some of the contours of her breasticles.
I think she has. I believe you're correct on
but,
this
so
one.
That's not good.
No. There a lot of people breaking rules of fish brying. It's too bad Abe Vigoda isn't still with us, because some inventive woman would convince Abe Vigoda, since he played fish, to just stand in front of her when she had her top off.
That's
That'd
what
be
I'm
great.
Doing. Can we just print out two pictures of Abe Vigoda's head, and I'm going to put two
you
of
really
his
really want
head.
That, though.
I really will do it.
Please do that.
I really will
please.
Do it. Will it help promote the show?
Yes.
I'll do it will if you can find...
We do need a billboard, I think.
Will you please do that? That would be...
I might.
That would be either the most visited website in the history of the internet or the opposite.
One of the weirdest photos on the internet.
Right.
Oh, my God. Is that Tessio? No, that's a fish bra.
Oh, Bernice.
Sue, what's going on with this world?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's a mad, mad world. That's all I can tell. Love you guys and all of GN.
Oh, thank you.
And... Thank you. I have a particular interest in fish tanks, and one day I came across looking at different things, and they had a picture of a lady, you can Google it, it's on Pinterest, whatever, of wearing a flexible bra with live goldfish swimming around on each side.
Really? Now, what would something like that go for if you wanted to get that for somebody for their birthday?
Well, I think this was, like I said, Pinterest has a lot of it. I think this might have been a custom made item.
Oh, was it?
All right. You could contact the seller specially.
What's that website, Etsy, you go to? See if there's one on Etsy.
I will look there.
That would be
I'm
great.
I'm just having a...
Something along in there.
Pam, I have such a... Sue, I have such a big dilemma because I don't know which picture of Abe Vigoda to use. Do I use the
will
old
one? Will you do
one?
This? You'll really do this?
I don't know. I got to see if I can strategically cover things.
Maybe go with the older one. I don't know if that's kinder.
Classic
Vigoda.
Because
he always looked old.
I think I found the perfect picture. Yes, he always...
Sue's right. Is that a picture from 3 years ago, or is that a picture from 1968? I can't tell.
All right. Well,
Sue,
we
thank
will
you.
Look for this. Thank you so much.
One,
you too. We have to take a break. I might have found the picture.
All right. You just showed me the picture. Please. And do one, like, do one that is this picture. He's kind of leaning to the right a little bit, and then, like, invert
reverse
the picture so you have one on the other side that's the opposite.
Do I want him looking in or out?
Looking in. You want him looking in. But he's smiling, and he looks startled.
All right, let me see what I can
Will
come
Will you do
up
this?
With. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, you should do this. This would be great.
I got to go to the HR office right after this, but I might.
I picture your kids applying for college in a very short time.
And all right.
The guy in the office is like,
I
don't think we can let you into our school.
Okay, you just talked me out of it. Maybe you should do it. It would be funnier if a guy did it.
No, it's got to be women.
Who says you're sexist?
You're bastardizing the whole fish bra game. You can't do that. All right, a quick break. We've got other people on hold. We're at 312-981-7200.
We're tackling the big issues.
The
in
big
this
issues.
World.
Spill and Wendy, WGN.
Welcome. This is a farmhouse. We have cluster flies.
I can put pictures of Trey Anastasio on my bosoms. Isn't that a funny word?
From the band Anastasio? Yes.
Fish.
Oh, yeah. From the band Fish. I'm trying desperately to convince you. You know, trends come and go. It's very popular right now, Wendy, to eat goldfish. All the kids are eating goldfish. But I'm saying the new trend is fish brying. And this is where a woman goes out fishing, which women have been doing for decades, Wendy. But now what they do is they catch a fish and they take their top off and they hold the fish up to cover themselves. And I'm trying to convince you that you need to do this, but not with a fish that you'd catch in the sea, but with pictures of Abe Vigoda.
All right, well, I figured how to invert it. We just have to find a colored printer, and then if Stephanie Menendez will help me position things.
On yourself or on the printer?
On myself. All right. Because, you know, I, again, my kids will be applying for college soon.
I believe this will get more hits than anything you and I
Did
have
you
ever
say hits?
Put. Hits. I believe this will get more hits. Than anything you and I have ever conceived of
it's
on the
nice
internet.
It's been nice working with you,
I'm
Phil.
I'm pretty sure this will. You really will do this, right?
We'll have to see
it's
if I can
funny.
Position them in a way.
In a discreet way.
Yeah. Because you know what? I've been in radio a long time and have never had to take my shirt off.
Right.
Until today.
Right.
Thanks, Bill. Pam, are you hearing this?
Yes, I am.
Are you disappointed in us?
You should be if you're not.
No, I think it's funny.
Oh, all right.
And when you mentioned, I think someone, one of you mentioned mom or something
yes.
before, and my parents have a house in Minocqua, Wisconsin. My dad's gone now, but the majority, you know, my dad was a big fisherman and stuff, and my mom too. And it's funny that he wanted the house up there, but all the fish except for one on hanging on the walls are my mom's.
Really?
Yes.
She was the better fisher person.
Yeah, I guess so. He had one. But when you said mom and I thought of my mother's fish, I'm like, ew.
Right. That image is not for the squeamish, I'll be honest with you.
I mean, she had some big one, big fish. And,
oh, okay.
You know, shush.
I'm disappointed in you, Pam.
Why?
Right,
I'm
you
kidding.
Call us talking
I'm
dirty.
Kidding.
That's not good.
Well, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Have a great day.
I have some breaking news here. Stephanie Menendez just called down to me, and she said only because she's a mom and has seen some stuff. That's
yes.
her words, not mine. She said she would be willing to help you, Wendy.
She'll help you. Ben Cortez also offered to help you, Wendy.
I'm actually headed up to Monaco in a couple weeks. I'll be interested to see how this plays out up there.
I can imagine, Ryan. Ryan's only going because of this craze. He had no interest in going whatsoever until he just heard about it. And he's like, I got to go up to Wisconsin now. I got to take some vacation
this
time
This was
quick.
Pre-planned, but, you know, it adds a new element to the,
sure.
the trip. That's for sure. I'm wondering if maybe the kids shouldn't come along.
Oh, man. I've never seen you guys so enthusiastic at work.
Well, it's for the, you know.
Fish bras.
Yeah.
Rose, what do you think about all this?
I think it's really funny, but I would have to pose with the fish at my waist.
That's funny and sad all at the same time, isn't it?
Well,
it is.
We get older, gravity,
yeah,
you know.
That's true.
Yep, that's for sure.
Thank you, Rose.
Thanks, Rose. That's so funny. I'm embarrassed about this whole day.
I am too.
You should be.
This will be taken off of everybody's bill. You will not be charged for today's show, I promise. All right, we need to take a quick break. Well, we don't need to, but we've been told that we should. So we will take a quick break, and then Ryan's got the news, and then a lot more ahead. Stay where you are. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. There's a show in town, a one-woman show called Squeeze My Cans, that is getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so.
I'm ashamed of you today.
I'm ashamed of me for many reasons. This is just a pilot on the list. Kathy Schenkelberg joins us right now, Chicago actress and playwright now, we have to say.
Yeah.
First of all, congrats on this show, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm very
this
excited.
Is very, my wife saw the show about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
The workshop at the Lifeline.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Where's
and
that?
On
it was
and on.
In January, yeah. I'm sorry, Lifeline Theater, Filet of Solo, did a workshop of Squeeze My Cans.
It is now at the Greenhouse Theater.
It's at the Greenhouse Theater on Lincoln Avenue.
All right. Now, it has to do with your 14 years as a member of the Church of Scientology. And that's something, as soon as that topic comes up, people get very nervous because the Scientology, the people who are behind Scientology, are very litigious. And if anyone says anything bad about it, there's trouble. How are you able to pull the show off?
Well, it's my story, so it's all true. It's a story that happened to me, so
yeah.
I'm just sharing that with the audience.
Has anyone from the Church of Scientology come to you at any point and said, we would really like it if you did not do this show?
No. They took just under $1 million from me in almost 2 decades of my life. When I said 14 years... That's stepping in and stepping out. It took me another 5 years to get out of Scientology because I had my agent, my manager. I was out in LA at the time. I had doctors, dentists, tax guys, friends. They insulated me to the point where leaving meant you leave all these other people too.
I have so many questions about Scientology because I know L. Ron Hubbard wrote the book Dianetics, mm-hmm. and that's what this is all kind of based on, isn't it?
Right, right. He wrote that book in the 50s. And
he's no longer with us and hasn't been for quite some time.
No, he left his body, as you would say, as a Scientologist in 1986.
Whoa.
Yeah, he departed.
Yes.
To go on to another planet, probably.
But he was primarily a science fiction writer.
Yep, pulp fiction.
Mostly. He wrote Battlefield Earth and mm-hmm. a couple of other hits.
Oh, he was huge in sci-fi.
Oh, yeah.
He made a bet that he could, I think it was Aleister Crowley, I could be wrong, but he made a bet that he could, if you want to make $1 million, start a religion.
All right, I'll think about that.
Yeah.
The fish bra religion.
That's going to work for you. It's going to work. So how did you get suckered into this? It happened here in town. It happened
in
Chicago.
Although suckered into it, you weren't feeling that at the beginning.
No, I was early 20s. I had heard about Dianetics a couple times before. And then when I finally was ready to try it, I was premenstrual, of course. So I was going through some emotional issues. And I met an actress at an audition who said, hey, how you doing? And I started to cry because I had just interviewed for the Peace Corps. And she said, you know, I have something to tell you about that's helped me. And that's how I started.
And, you know, at that point, you're trying to find the answers. What religion were you born into?
I was raised Catholic, 10 kids in Nebraska. And yes, I was spiritually searching for sure. I was ready. I was searching. I was studying crystals, meditation. I even spoke in tongues. I hung out at the North Avenue Beach and drummed and slept with rocks. And I was looking, man.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the perfect solution at the perfect time. Timing is everything, I think. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah. I talk about that in the show. We say timing is everything. You know, I could have been, I could have been in another religion if the timing was, you know.
Kathy, in your opinion, do you think that the Church of Scientology has a specific target type? Are they looking for somebody that they say, well, we can prey on them, they're a little vulnerable right now?
Yeah, the young and the vulnerable, the ones that are searching. They're not going to seek out the ones that are downtrodden. And I always had a problem with that. I said, why don't we help this homeless guy? Or why aren't we helping these guys? And I was always told we help the able become more able.
Yeah.
Less work, faster results.
That's
you know,
what it
who
is.
Wouldn't want to do that?
Right.
I've spent my whole life trying to get somewhere the easiest way.
Yeah.
So you hear that, you're going to say, okay, this is for me.
Right, right. But I did have a problem with, see, when I donated money, I thought it was going to help groups. Like when I wanted to join the Peace Corps, it was because I wanted to help. So I was told that this is the group that helps mankind. And I was like, well, this is great. So I was making money and I was helping and I was contributing. And they had these glossy magazines and they show you pictures of Scientologists around the world, you know, building wells and doing things. But no, they were just buying property.
But they want you to do well, because the more money you make, the more money they make.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
sign a contract with them that you have to give them money? Do you just want to donate because you're believing in this and you want to continue the success of Scientology? Is that how it
No, I didn't sign a contract, but there is a contract that you sign if you become a staff member, a Sea Organization member. It's a billion-year contract. And I did
a billion year.
Yes, it's a billion years.
With an option year at the end of that?
Yeah, exactly. So okay. No pension.
An option billion.
No pension.
Wow.
Yeah. No. I was a public person, so I I didn't sign a contract, but I got in and I was like, "Oh, this is fun. Everybody says I'm so cool and you're so big and wow, you could do anything if you set your mind to it." And I kept progressing, and I was working doing voiceover in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I was quite successful. And then I got the Bozo Show.
Right.
I was Pepper the Clown on the Bozo Show.
Yeah.
Which
for,
I was telling
for a
you,
year,
yeah.
A couple of years, right?
I think three contracts I had.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It
not,
looks
not
like
the
this...
billion year deal on the Bozo
no,
Show.
No.
All right.
It looks like everything's kind of coming up roses, and maybe the Scientology is really opening pathways for you to succeed. You started really believing in it, didn't you? Or no?
Yeah, no, I believed in it. It's when you get further into it that you're going, oh, how the heck do I get out of here?
And why can't you just say, hey, I don't want to go to any more church meetings?
Come see Squeeze My Cans at the Greenhouse Theater. I'm telling you, it's so hard
to see it.
It's so hard to explain. When you're first in Scientology and someone asks you about it, you're always told, hand them a book. Tell them to read a book. Don't get into it because it's a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
My director, Shirley Anderson, is here, and she's from Chicago, and she researched a lot on cults, and she was fascinated.
Why Shirley? It was just referred to as a rabbit hole. Why? Because why?
Well, it's insanely detailed.
Can you move a little closer to the mic? Thank you.
It's insanely detailed, the program. And in order to, make more and more money, they have to continue to invent more and more programs.
Right.
So that, they can charge people. But it's all out there now on the internet. If you even do one Google, you're going down an internet rabbit hole. There's Reddits, there's anti-Scientology websites. The Scientologists are trying to chase after that also to cut back on the damage. I don't think they can do any.
Listen, there was no internet. Control. I mean, the internet was just starting in the early 90s.
You
so
couldn't
I didn't,
research.
I didn't. I didn't have the luxury. And once you're in, you're told kind of not to look at the internet, read the newspaper. Have anything to do with the newspaper reporter. I mean, this, I would be written up. This is, you guys are suppressive right now to me. I'm declared a suppressive person, by the way.
They keep a list of potentially dangerous people,
yes,
and you're on that
I'm
list.
Very dangerous. Yeah. In fact, the list is on the church on Lincoln Avenue. It's in the basement. And somebody, a friend of mine, before they left the church said, oh, yeah, your name's on a piece of paper in the basement of the Church of Scientology on Lincoln Avenue.
But they're not going to do anything to you.
I don't know. I was kind of looking out the window here.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't think so. I mean, why? I'm just a schmo. I'm just a girl.
Well, that's
got into a cult.
That's what's so subversive about this, though. Huh? It's subversive because you aren't a celebrity. You aren't someone who signed a billion-dollar contract. You're the person who made the church rich.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because you have is it John Travolta and Tom Cruise that are
they use the celebrities for their face for their. I mean, I'm sure they contribute, but the money is made from the public people. The money is filtered in by people like me.
So we always hear when we hear about people who are in Scientology, it's your A-level actors like the ones Wendy just mentioned. Mm-hmm. But that's only a part of it. That's
I never even knew about any celebrities.
You didn't
it's new. Nope, didn't know at all.
Huh.
I got in Chicago.
Yeah.
You were searching for something, and it seemed like the answer.
Yeah.
And so if anyone's listening right now and is trying to find their path in life, I guess you would advise them maybe to look elsewhere.
Right. I mean, look, we all want to do and help others.
Sure.
And belong
and
to
belong
something.
And belong to something. I don't think Scientology is the answer. It has helped people, I'm sure. But and in the beginning, it did help me. But the further I got in, you guys, the further I was disconnected from people, loved ones, even my family. I didn't disconnect with them, but they were like, you're not around as much.
And is that the suggestion of the church themselves? Do they say, hey, these people in
we're
in
your family
past,
now.
Yeah
well,
kind of
it's a slow burn, man. You just, they insulate you. You don't realize it's happening until all of a sudden you look around and you go, oh, all my friends are Scientologist, my doctor, dentist, lawyer, everybody
yeah.
is a Scientologist. No, my family was never in Scientology, and I would never disconnect with them.
Yeah.
And had they maybe spoke up, I mean, I can't guarantee. They knew about the disconnection policy in Scientology, and it does exist. And they cannot tell me it doesn't. I lived it.
Yeah.
And other people have lost loved ones. They don't even see their children or their parents. I'm lucky. I just lost it. My accountant, my manager, my doctor, dentist.
You can always get a new
dermatologist. Oh, I could use a dermatologist right now.
Want to take a quick break?
Yeah,
and then
we need
I'm
to.
So intrigued by this, and I would love to see Squeeze My Cans because it's a learning experience and sounds like it's pretty funny, too.
Yeah, it's fun.
The show is at the Greenhouse Theater. You want to go to greenhousetheater.org for all your ticket information. We'll return more and talk about the show with the star and the director next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kathy Schenkelberg is here. Her show is called Squeeze My Cans. It's playing at the Greenhouse Theater. Go to greenhousetheater.org. It's there July 14th.
I can't believe
the
you
24th.
Haven't asked me a question about the title.
Are you forbidden to squeeze cans in Scientology?
I have to tell you something so funny. So I'm in L.A. I go back and forth from Chicago to L.A. and my agent at William Morris there, we're having a cocktail. Can I say that on television?
Nope.
On radio?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Anyway, and I go, gosh, I got to get the right name for my show. And he knew me before I was in, when I was in, and when I got out. And he said, he always used to make jokes to me, hey, did you squeeze your cans today? Because there are two metal cans connected to the e-meter, which is like a lie detector.
Yeah.
And you hold these cans in order to locate areas of spiritual distress or travail that, you know, when you're counseling, when you're getting Scientology auditing. So we always would say, because I was on the very highest level in Scientology, did you squeeze your cans today? And I'm like, shut up, you know. So now I'm out and we're having cocktails. And he goes, your show title is Squeeze My Cans. And
oh.
I thought,
that's it.
Brilliant, because the juxtaposition with the boobs.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, and the, you know, the little alien hands grabbing him. It's like a pulp. Fiction type thing. This is so going in a place I didn't expect.
So perfect, though, the double entendre with the squeeze my cans.
Yeah. That's good.
So I was asking you off the air. We just drove through Arcola. Is it Arcola, Illinois? Like Amish capital of Illinois. And there was an Amish family with their horse and buggy parked out in back of a Dairy Queen having a little snack there. And there are certain rules and regulations that we hear about religions. Mm-hmm. No electricity with the Amish. Are there things in Scientology that you are or aren't supposed to do?
Well, you can't drink alcohol or have aspirin.
Oh,
24 hours before you have a session or you're on course in Scientology. So you just can't have it 24 hours before. But they don't promote psychiatric drugs. They do not like the psychs at all.
Okay, what about counseling?
You know, it's funny, when I got in, I was raised Catholic, they said we're non-denominational. Okay, that means I can practice any religion. Well, the further I got in, like I was doing yoga, and they were like, that's another practice. I had my palm read. Someone read my palm at the Santa Monica Pier, just grabbed my hand and started reading it. I handed her $5. Mm-hmm. It cost me about $800 to handle what I did to pull that in. I'm using terminology.
Well, right. But how do they make that happen? Like, how do they determine what you did is wrong and what the charge will be?
Well, you're on this lie detector, this e-meter, and you're holding the cans, and you could say apples, and the needle on the dial of the e-meter is just idle. It's just kind of...
Yeah.
And you could say orange, and the needle drops. Okay, we're going to pick up oranges. I'm using those. I mean, for me, it was like, did you look at the internet? No. Did you read the newspaper? Did you look at any black PR on Scientology? Yeah, I read that Time magazine article. Boom, the needle falls. Okay, what overt transgression or sin did you commit that made you look at that? And then that's where you spend the money.
I'm Catholic, too, and this is more penance and worse than Catholicism.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and you don't even have time to feel guilty because you're punished immediately.
Shirley knows how hard it was to go through this because it was cathartic for me. This was my therapy. I mean, writing the show and going through it all over again. And on stage, it's cathartic.
Yeah.
You've watched that.
Yeah,
unfold.
I mean, well, I've worked on this for 9 months, so it feels like a baby to me. but yeah, I mean, she's done so much writing, and we have gone through a lot of emotional ups and downs with this show. It's been painful to work on.
Sure,
and it's been
a gift.
Started in my 20s. I'm middle aged. I lost $1 million. I was on food stamps. I got notice on my house. I'm living in people's homes. You know, I haven't paid rent. I don't have any money for rent. I'm not looking for pity. I wrote a show and I get to travel with it.
Right.
But people who have gone as far as she's gone often are not here anymore. They have they've gone crazy. They've killed themselves.
Because they feel there's no escape.
It's
probably.
No joke. This organization not only robs your money and your time, but your identity.
Yeah.
I have a friend in Chicago, and he was an ad agent, and I don't know if I can say his name, but he was on the level I was on, and I did McDonald's voiceover commercials with him.
Yeah.
And he lost everything. He lost all his money and his job at BBDO.
Yeah.
And he went to the church and he asked for help. And the church shunned him, and he left, and he killed himself. And I asked what happened to him, and the church said, oh, his father was suppressing him. It's his father's fault. He went and had a psychotic break. But then I looked, and the Reader did an article on him. I went further and went, no. He asked for help. Another friend of mine from Germany asked for help. She killed herself.
Yeah.
I felt like I was going crazy. The higher I got in Scientology on these levels, I felt like there was things.
Well, you don't as a person matter anymore. It's not about you anymore. It's about not you. It's about something in the air. It's about something invisible.
Yeah.
I remember with the levels, and I don't understand the significance, but I know Tom Cruise has mentioned that he's a grand thetan. Am I saying that right?
A thetan. He's an operating thetan.
Okay. So what does that get you?
After Dianetics Clear, which is getting rid of your reactive mind, you do upper levels in Scientology, and they're called OT levels, operating thetan, which is cause over life. So you go through these levels, and you get higher and higher and higher, and you're supposed to become more yourself. But I became less myself. My personality here is vivacious.
Yeah.
When I was on the upper levels, it was like, hey, Wendy.
It seems very brainwashy. I mean, you know.
Completely.
I can't speak because I've never done it, but I mean, really, it's like they're telling you how to be, yet you enter into this wanting to be the best you can be, but you're being squashed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When one of your A-list stars, like Leah Remini, when she says, I don't want to do this anymore, I want a clean break, and they don't give it to her, what do you make of that when you see somebody who's high profile like that, who gives such a hard time to?
Well, it's funny because she just asked a question. Where's your wife?
Yeah.
To the chairman of the head of the church, David Miscavige, where is your wife? I was friends with her.
Yeah.
And she had to go through a litany of stuff to handle why she asked that question or what. You know, I haven't read her book, but I have lots of friends who did. And I don't know her personally, but I did work with her mom when I was in the church. We were twins on course every once in a while. Her whole family left with her because, listen, you can't just leave Scientology. If you leave Scientology and other people don't, those people are told, no, you can't be in touch with that person. They say that's not true, but it's true.
And that can be a mother and a daughter or anything, a married couple.
You have no idea how many people have lost loved ones in Scientology, and that is a tragedy. I can't even...
I got to go squeeze
your
cans.
Wow, yes.
I got to see squeeze my cans.
Yeah, well, you can squeeze my cans and see my cans.
Wow, I hope people just tuned in to hear that. I hope they just now turned on the...
at least Kathy, I didn't say motorboat.
You're fine. You're fine. Kathy Schenkelberg's show is called Squeeze My Cans. It's at the Greenhouse Theater. You want to go to greenhousetheater.org for all your ticket information. It opens July the 14th. Well, it's already opened.
Yeah. No, it opens tomorrow. Yeah. So the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
We did it at the Fringe.
Right.
And now we're doing it here. We're so
excited.
People
love it. And it closes July 24th,
I did 2 weeks here.
That's it.
So 2 weeks, and the tickets are $25, but if you use the code word WGN, you get 25% off.
Nice.
I got to go see this because I need to learn and I need to see you go through your therapy.
Yeah, it's 80 minutes. And
it's hilarious until it's not.
Yeah, that's what it
love
is,
that
right?
Quote.
Yeah. All right, so that's Kathy Schenkelberg and Shirley Anderson, who's the director. Good luck with this.
Thank you guys for having us.
We really appreciate it. A quick break, then Kim Gordon with the news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. He's Dean.
There's no, you can't even debate this. The man is Dean.
I have checked my driver's license.
What did it say, Dean?
I am Dean.
You are Dean. So let the...
With an obviously fake weight.
Whose is accurate? That's what I want to know.
Right?
I always thought when I was a kid that when your weight changed, you had to change it on your license, like right in the new number, yeah. just in
get
case
the
you
get white out.
Yeah.
I still have my high school weight
Me
in there.
Too.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Nobody will notice.
Dean, Hamilton is coming to town, you know.
I have heard
And there's
that.
Some news. What is the news
I
about
have.
Hamilton?
It's big news today.
What's the news?
Big breaking news. They announced who will be in the cast of the Chicago production.
Now, in New York, the guy who wrote it and starred in it, Rahm Emanuel Noriega, he's leaving the show. He's out, right?
Rahm is out.
Yeah.
Wow, there's a headline if somebody's just, the radio just went out. Rahm is out.
Rahm is out.
Lin-Manuel Miranda left the show over the weekend. And they have, in fact, like the leading people in the Broadway production have all left. So I thought what might happen, I didn't think Lin-Manuel Miranda was going to be here, but I thought that some of the principal players from the Broadway production might be coming here to Chicago in a couple of roles, just to, you know, to spice it up and to say from the Broadway original, we have so and so as you know, Betsy Ross, or, you know, whoever's in here. But among the names that they announced are some Broadway heavyweights, but nobody from the original cast. And what's even more disturbing to me is among the major players in this, I don't see any Chicago actors in here. They also almost always do that, like when Wicked was here, and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, some of these shows that played here in Chicago for a long time. We have an amazing body of talent in Chicago that they didn't take a couple of them for the main roles is a little bit disturbing.
That's too bad.
It's a little sad to me.
Yeah.
But we have Miguel Cervantes. He is a Broadway veteran. He's going to take over the role of Alexander Hamilton. He has been in productions of If Then, American Idiot, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. So, I mean, he's got definitely got some credentials. There's an actress by the name of Karen Olivo who won.
Olivo.
I'm going to make some hot cakes for you.
Where's Arnold?
Then we'll go to Mr. Drucker's. she won a Tony Award.
Sorry for the diversion.
Wendy was just nominated for that joke, actually, for her Olivo joke.
I would have thought you would have gone for the Green Acres joke way faster than
nope,
Wendy.
Not today.
People underestimate me sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, you are becoming each other.
That's true.
Bill can't stop talking about probiotics the last couple of weeks.
I know, and I'm wearing a baseball cap.
Crazy.
So Karen Olivo was a Tony Award winner. She was in West Side Story, in the 2009 revival of West Side Story.
My favorite musical in the world.
It's a pretty good one. She's going to be starring as Angelica Schuyler in the production here. She's been teaching musical theater also at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. That's about as close to any kind of local connection that I can find here.
That's strange. I'm very surprised to hear that. Now you still, Dean, you have not seen Hamilton yet, have you?
I have not.
But everyone I know, even people who don't like anything about theater or rap music or history, want so badly to see the show. You can't get tickets.
They're hard to get in New York. I mean, I've contacted every PR person that I know in New York, and it just simply was pretty impossible, unless you wanted to pay thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And, you know, being the cheapskate today, what, a critic paying for something?
No, I'm not
what?
Paying.
That's never going to happen. I can't start that precedent. Critics paying for things. But no, literally, tickets, you know, for the Lin-Manuel Miranda's final performance, tickets were going for between $2 and $5,000.
Wow.
Some people pay $20,000 for, like, you know, backstage access. And it was.
Yeah. Be nice to me. Maybe I'll take it.
All right. Now I know.
Can I just tell you, to interject 1 second, I absolutely adored SpongeBob the Musical.
Oh, right. I saw that on Facebook from you. I'm so glad you liked it. Your kids liked it, too?
Absolutely. And it was just being a fan of SpongeBob, the television show, which I watched with my kids, we did get a lot more inside jokes, I bet, than other people.
Sure.
But still, just I can't believe how they transformed that Oriental Theater to make it look like Bikini Bottom.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was beautiful. The set was beautiful. The songs, weren't the songs amazing?
Yes.
From this, you know, this lineup of all-stars that they had write music for the show. The performances were great. Ethan Slater.
Oh, my God. He was an amazing SpongeBob.
He played SpongeBob, or as I called him, I think on my Sunday show, Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
That would be an interesting casting choice.
Oh, he'd be great as SpongeBob.
But his name is actually, I'll never forget his name now for as long as I live. Ethan Slater is the very talented actor. And now, but it's closed now in Chicago. We told
but this
you
was a warm-up for Broadway,
it's
wasn't
gonna
it?
It's going to come back, don't you think?
It'll be back.
Okay, that's what I was trying to explain to
and
people.
Ethan Hawke really will be in it.
I'm in.
When it comes back.
But, that's going to be great.
Yeah, so it's probably going to open in the fall in Broadway. But it's if you're going to go to New York and you see that it's playing, see it. It's so much fun. You leave with a big smile on your face.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Speaking of putting smiles on people's faces, Dean Richards is here. We'll talk to Dean more in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I want to pitch an idea to Dean Richards. My Pillow the Musical, Dean. Would people go to see that?
How many times have I thought, every time I've heard that commercial, how great that would
be. Wouldn't that be a great musical?
I can't sleep. I can't sleep.
I am so anxious to hear your review on the new Ghostbusters movie. My husband and my son Dylan went last night to the special screening.
Yes.
And Dylan is 13, and he is a huge Ghostbusters fan, and he seemed to not really want to go at first because he's like, you know, they're...
Chicks.
Yeah, it's kind of wrecking.
Stealing from the original.
Yeah.
Chicks.
Yes.
But they both seem to enjoy it.
As I did.
Oh.
Also enjoy it. I can't remember a movie that got reviewed so much before the movie was ever seen by anybody.
Yeah.
This movie has taken a beating in social media. A
lot of haters out there. I don't like that.
A lot of haters, and almost all of it based on a misogynistic sentiment of people offended that girls are taking over their Ghostbusters.
Come on.
Those icky girls are taking over.
Girl germs.
Their Ghostbusters, which is amazing to me when you've got a cast like Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, you've got Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live and Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live.
Funny, 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 and funny.
I think that they were all really good in this. It's not a continuation of the previous Ghostbusters story. It's a whole new story. They are interested in the paranormal in different ways. They all come together to form this organization, this company that hunts out the paranormal to, you know, get it out of New York City with upgraded special effects, certainly from the last movie from 1984. But I think it's a perfectly entertaining movie. I thought that they were funny. I thought the story was okay. If I do have a problem with this movie at all, the story at times meanders a little bit. Wouldn't hurt them to have tightened it up just a little bit. But I don't think it's a deal killer at all with this movie. For me, the bottom line is, are you going to leave feeling like you were entertained? And I definitely did. But let me tell you something. You want to talk about funny in this movie. Chris Hemsworth of Thor fame, in many ways steals this movie. He is so surprisingly and shockingly hilarious.
Really?
As the beefcake idiot secretary. It's a complete role reversal of, you know, take any movie USA where they hire a buxom blonde, a gorgeous blonde who doesn't have a brain in her head. In this case, it's Chris Hemsworth, who is the beefcake secretary, who is so dumb and, like, so idiotic and they play off of it, and he is so funny.
And Dean, you know what's going on here behind the scenes is he looks a lot, this Hemsworth looks a lot like Kevin, our producer, and in the movie, this guy's name is Kevin, and our Kevin is suing them because he says that they're stealing his persona.
That he has the franchise on Stupid Beefcake?
No, he's not stupid.
He's not stupid at all. He's
not even a little bit stupid.
Was it Annie Potts who played it in the first one, who was just kind of ditzy and really funny?
From Designing Women.
Yeah.
This is just such a complete role reversal. And I heard the promo that ran just before the break where Roe was saying that Richard Roper is going to be in to reverse the movie. He hated the movie.
Oh, really?
He hates everything.
And specifically, the Chris Hemsworth character.
Oh.
He's jealous.
I read his review, and it's like, how... You know, as Roy Leonard used to say, you know, there's something for everyone.
Sure.
I don't know how you can look at that Chris Hemsworth character and not think it's hilarious, not think that the girls are hilarious in this movie as well. I'm a huge fan of Leslie Jones from SNL. I'm a bigger fan of hers now. She's loud. She's brashy.
But it's a perfect role for her,
isn't
it?
But, I mean, she brings, you know, this kind of persona to it that's really funny. Kate McKinnon is sort of, you know, like the nerd, techno-geeky kind of character.
The Harold Ramis?
She's a little like that. They didn't go to exactly replicate each one of them, but if I was going to compare her to anybody from the original movie, it's probably more like that. So she's a little more diabolical and just weirdly quirky.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Wiig is an academic who used to be friends with the Melissa McCarthy's character years ago. Melissa McCarthy's character wrote a book on the paranormal, and now that Kristen Wiig's character is, you know, an academic trying to get a job, I think it was Cornell, trying to get a legitimate job in academia, she wants to distance herself from all this paranormal nonsense, but gets drawn back into it again when she has an encounter herself, which you probably have seen in the commercials.
I did see it in the commercials. Did you laugh out loud? Were there times where you laughed out loud at the new Ghostbusters?
There were a couple. There were some times where I laughed. I don't think there were any gut-busting laughter.
No, it's Gut-busters.
Gut-buster. Who are you going to call?
Gut-busters.
But the but I had a big old smile on my face. There were some genuinely really funny moments. You know, it's not perfect by any means, but it's perfect. I think perfectly entertaining.
All right, I
enjoyed it. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Oh, good.
That's
I'm
not
going to
bad
see it
at all.
Yeah.
All right.
I liked it.
And then we only have a minute or two.
Sorry, Kevin. I was I mean to
don't,
Kevin.
No, Kevin's no. fine. Kevin's going to be fine.
Not this time.
He's crying right now. He's going
to
be all right.
It's because to be Roper, my producer, though. I feel like I could be an extra insulting.
Kevin's upset. Said because of Roper.
Yeah,
Kevin?
He's mean to me in the hallways.
Oh,
yeah.
That's got to stop.
Yeah. Roper.
Yeah, that's got to stop. And Dean, real quick, Bryan Cranston, who has become one of our finest actors, has a new movie out.
Maybe
the Infiltrator.
Greatest. Maybe the greatest. Sir Laurence Olivier, step aside.
Get out of the way,
Tom
Bryan Cranston.
Get out of the way.
Right.
I'm a huge Bryan Cranston fan.
Yeah.
I want him so much to win an Academy Award.
Yes.
I don't think that he's going to with this one, but because it's a good movie. It's a better than good movie. It's an above average movie about a real life character who is a drug agent.
Mm-hmm.
He is a police officer who infiltrates the Pablo Escobar drug cartel.
Oh, cool.
Is deep undercover. He's a U.S. Customs agent and goes deep undercover to bust this agent. It's such a multi-leveled, nuanced story of, you know, trying to keep their cover and to get to the right bad guys in it.
Yeah.
The storyline itself is good. As these kinds of dramas and suspense dramas go, it's good. But Bryan Cranston's performance is amazing.
Yeah, he's always
he
good.
Can he raises an eyebrow and he drew, like I found myself literally leaning into the screen whenever Cranston was on the screen because he's so engaging and so nuanced and so great. So I think it's a good story and a great performance from Cranston. Diane Kruger is in it, who is also good, and Benjamin Bratt and John Leguizamo, sort of the comic relief in it. It's a little bit dark and a little bit gritty.
Yeah.
It's rated R, but also definitely worth seeing. It's another Dean's List B.
Excellent. That's The Infiltrator.
Not sure if either of these are going to break Secret Life of Pets hold on the number one spot, because kids' movies always rule. But Ghostbusters, perfectly entertaining, and Infiltrator, also pretty great.
Excellent. Dean, thanks so much. Have a great rest of the week.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
Take care. Thanks, that's Dean Richards. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch in just a bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Left. That's Wendy Snyder. We're here for you. We're 312-981-7200. This is part two of our show.
We're here for you?
Yeah, we're here for you. If people, if they need something, we would be there for them.
Like what? Somebody to pick up the kids at daycare?
Yeah, if they needed somebody to pick up their kids at daycare. What if their remote is short of battery? What if they needed a C-cell battery? I have one.
Can I just tell you that no remote on the planet uses a C-cell battery?
I don't know what kind they use.
Usually AAA, maybe a AA.
Is that what it is?
C I have is a big.
Huge, I got a giant remote. I have a huge remote, so it takes 8 C-cell batteries.
Do you have a giant calculator, too?
Yep, pretty big size. Yeah, why? I live in Paul Bunyan's old house. All this stuff came with the house.
Good to know.
We talked at the beginning of the show, toward the beginning of the show, we talked about a trend. There's a huge trend, and some people who are into this trend are into it big time, and other people, they're just now learning of it. And what it's called is fish brying, and that is where you use a fish as though it were the upper half of your undergarments. This is for the ladies only, I hope. I hope.
A guy could do it. I think
sick if a guy did it, Wendy.
That would be funnier.
It'd be sick. Ugh. Can't imagine. But a woman will go, she'll go out on a lake, and she'll catch herself a nice fish, and then she'll take her top off, and she holds the fish up where her breasts are to cover them. And earlier in the show, we were talking about this because there's pictures of it all over the internet. Women are doing this. They're taking pictures of themselves without their shirts on, but with a fish there.
Yeah, but they're doing it wrong. Some of them have. Is it up on our Facebook page already? The link is there, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Some women are just taking a giant fish and covering up the goods.
Right. But we think it's more creative to take two smaller fish, unless you need bigger fish, but let's say smaller fish, and to hold each of the fish up to cover the appropriate areas, or inappropriate areas, I guess.
Appropriate in some aspects.
Right. But I was saying that for many guys, seeing these pictures, myself included, you're torn because you want to be excited by the fact that it's a naked woman out on a lake. That should be exciting. But for some reason, the fact that she has a largemouth bass there makes it...
That's perverted.
That makes
Why'd
it perverted.
Why'd you have to go there, the largemouth bass?
Well, any fish. You pick the fish. Trout. It could be coho. Whatever your fish of choice is.
I love Bill's knowledge of fish.
I know over a dozen fish.
Sunfish.
Starfish.
That was actually pretty good. A girl had two starfish there.
Right. That one was my favorite one, I think, so far. But then I said to you, I threw a challenge your way, not expecting you to take me up on it.
Well, I don't know what to do right now because Stephanie Menendez, who I don't know what her position is because they throw positions around here.
I believe she's the assistant program director, isn't she?
Is that what it is?
I think so, isn't she? Yeah.
All right, something of that ilk.
Yeah.
She escorted me into the ladies' bathroom, and we did a fish shot.
A fish shot?
That's right. Sounds bad too.
Right.
So
the least selling drink at any bar around town. Can I get a fish shot, please?
You get a pickleback with that?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's appropriate to post, so asked.
I've seen you showed me the picture, and it's not.
Well, you said it was, so now you're trying to get me fired.
No. What good would that do me? I don't want you to get fired.
So I'm waiting for the advice and
clearance
supervision.
From the tower?
Yes.
Yeah.
But so I said, is this acceptable? I sent a text to Stephanie with the picture, and she said, let's have Kevin do it. So I don't know.
What does that mean, let's have Kevin do it?
Meaning it shouldn't be me.
Oh, no. You don't want a guy doing it something like this. That's sick.
But that makes it funnier. Can Stephanie get on the phone and call us and find out if we have clearance?
See if Stephanie will talk to us. All right.
Because I'm fine with it. It doesn't show anything except my fish.
It should. Right. You're a very good sport about this. I didn't think, because I said to you, we had a creative way of you doing one of these fish bra shots, and I didn't think that you would take me up on the offer, but you seemed all in, and you took the picture. I mean, there's the picture, but I think it's fine. I've seen crazier stuff on the internet.
But you scared me when you said when my kids are going to be starting to apply for colleges and looking for scholarships,
yeah,
and then they do a little background check on the household.
Yes.
This is going to pop up.
If everything goes according to plan. Yeah, probably.
Well, I don't want that, so I need clearance from the tower.
Once something's on the internet, it can be erased within seconds,
right,
never to be seen again. You have nothing to worry about.
I am so anal even about putting Facebook posts that, you know, if I notice a typo, I will go back and edit my own post.
Sure.
Because everybody is so critical.
Right. Right. I believe that if this makes it to the internet, if this photograph of you holding up a fish or two in the appropriate places, if it does make it to the internet, I believe it'll get more hits than anything you and I have ever done.
Did you say hits?
Hits. Hits.
All right. Well, I need approval because management has to approve it. I don't mean to be a baby, but I like my job here. I'd like to stay here for a while.
All you want is approval. That's it. Kevin, is this okay? Can we do this?
I think we're good.
Yes,
no, I'm not asking
approval.
You guys.
Hold on.
Oh, man.
Oh, yep. Okay, that was Jimmy DeCastro. He said yeah.
He said yeah. He was talking to Jimmy on the pretend phone.
No, I need approval. I need clearance, and then go ahead and post it.
And then you'll post it?
Yeah,
you're
okay.
Yeah, all right.
I was trying to see if it was okay with my husband, but he's not answering his phone, so I say better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Always.
Pretty sure Patty says it's okay.
Who says
that? Patty has posted mammogram shots, which I have too.
Patty Vasquez has?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah.
But she must not like her job as much as I do. And that's for a purpose. That's saying go get your mammogram.
Yes.
What am I saying? Go get a fish bra?
Pretty much, yeah.
See, there's a big difference.
It's the message that needs to be said.
It's not as Mariano's.
Right. It's nowhere near as impactful, certainly, but it's still, you're sending out a message.
What is that message? I'm an idiot?
No. No.
There's no message that I'm trendy. You get mad at me for playing Pokemon Go because that's all the rage, but all of a sudden the fish bra is okay with you.
I can't explain
why. No, you can't.
Other than to say I'm so torn. You and I went through at least a dozen photographs earlier in the show of women who are in on this, and with each picture you go, normally an attractive woman out on a lake without her top on, that's good news.
But you don't really see anything. That's the thing.
No, because there's a giant fish covering everything. That's what I mean. It's perversion of justice is what it is.
But it's good that they caught the fish. I mean, we're always excited to see big fish pictures.
Unless you're a fish, Ryan, and then it's bad
true
news.
How do you know the fish isn't enjoying itself?
I'm telling you, they are. You can see it in the fish's face. It's like
struggling for air does not matter.
Right. I know I'm going out, but I'm going out at the top. I love this.
Let's
I've
take
never
a break.
Seen happier
Stephanie
fish
has to approve this, or Todd Manley.
Somebody higher up.
Yeah, or it's not happening.
All right.
You know, I don't trust you. I got to tell you. I love you.
Don't trust me.
Trust no one, Bill.
Come on.
The fish is out there.
It is, isn't it? All right, a quick break, and then some permission, we hope, and then you all get to see what we've seen, and your eyes will never be the same. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Bill is obsessed with the fish bra.
I'm not obsessed with it. I'm torn by it.
You're intrigued by it?
I'm intrigued by it. I like to be in control of my emotions, you know, and I can't, my emotions don't know what to make of it, because it is normally... You would look at these pictures, and you might go, wow, look at that.
You could say he's hooked.
I'm hooked.
You guys?
I think that's great. You're not happy with Kevin? Kevin thought of that. That's beautiful.
My God.
Yeah, that's something, huh?
What has this show turned into?
I don't know.
Well, so I took a picture with a fish bra of sorts.
You took off your own. You took your top off, and you held at least one and probably two fish up.
One fish, two fish.
Right. Keep going.
I don't have any more.
Keep going.
But I just want approval from the tower, and Stephanie Menendez is not calling us back. And Diane, my mom is no longer around, but this is probably what she would tell me. Go ahead.
Hi, Wendy, Bill.
Hi.
I think if in doubt, don't do it.
No, when in doubt, whip it out, Wendy. That's what they say. That's in the Bible. That's in Corinthians.
You are getting struck by lightning.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah. But not only could this come up with college applications, but think about your son's friend seeing it.
That's what they're thinking about.
All right. You know what? Not happening.
Don't say that.
No, that is because.
That's not true.
You're absolutely right. Diane, we'll have Kevin and Bill do it.
You'll be the coolest mom in town.
I don't want to be.
You don't think so, Diane? You don't think Wendy'd be the coolest mom? Kids from other neighborhoods would come by to meet you.
And I want that?
No.
If she didn't have kids.
No.
It wouldn't make any difference.
Wait, hang on. Let me think about that for
Wendy,
a minute.
Wendy, look at the smile on your face.
Oh, my God. I'd be getting a pedicure after work today.
That's a weird
kidding.
Thought.
I'm kidding. Diane, I have to agree with you. I was going to do it, but you know what? I work with a bunch of little boys who act like teenagers, and I really need a woman's opinion. Thank you, Diane.
And you work with your son in the band and all.
Yeah,
I don't know.
True.
I just think you might get
more bookings
that you were not looking for.
All right. Very good point. Thank you, Diane.
Stupid voice of reason.
You're welcome. Wendy, it's educational.
It is educational.
No,
it's
really.
Kevin's right.
You know what?
Kevin's right.
It's worldly.
No,
you might be on the news.
Okay. First of all.
You might be on Windy City Live.
You would never watch it
I wouldn't watch it.
All right, I forgot the fact that my kids are little men now. So, no, I can't do it.
Because I don't understand that thought. What
do you
mean by that?
Because when they were babies, they weren't on Facebook.
Right.
And it wouldn't come back to haunt them. I don't want, you know, this would be embarrassing for them because people would send them pictures. Is this your mom?
Is that how your kids' friends sound, like that?
No, it's got to be you or Kevin. That's it. Sorry. The voice of reason was Diane.
But the true meaning behind this trend is women. I mean, you saw the pictures. There's no guys in there.
I would like a little background on these girls that have done it. How old they are, if they have kids.
Right.
Stephanie has gotten back to me, but she's saying that either you or I have to also, Bill.
Oh, so all of us.
No, just one other.
I think that's sick.
It's really inappropriate.
Sick. It's very inappropriate. Very inappropriate.
This just got dumb.
It did.
I'm not having fun anymore.
I know, but I really just, somebody wants to know if I'll just send it to them. Here's their number, 708.
Right.
It's nothing. It's not anything. I don't know.
On a provocative scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate this picture?
2.
A 2? So that's not bad. 2's not
Again,
bad.
Again, I love you, but I do not trust you.
I've seen the picture.
I know, and it's fine. I mean, I think of my kids' friends.
Right.
That's just, that can't
happen. What about, thanks, Diane. Voice of reason.
I can't do it. Is it hot in here?
Yes.
It's
Dante's Inferno.
No, I'm having a hot flash. Can you tell them to make
it cooler?
Well,
then this should be your last picture on the internet. This go out with a blaze.
I'm not dying from it.
All right.
Really, I do trust you most of the time. If I'm going to see a movie, I ask you questions about things, for the most part, I trust your response.
Right.
I don't trust you.
All right, that's fine. But someday you're going to regret this. When you're old,
I don't think
in a couple of years, you're going to look back
and
say, that was my moment in the sun, and I let it slip right past.
How about, like I suggested off the air, you do the face swap where it's Abe Vigoda's face on your face.
That's sick.
But then it's not as, you know, nobody will know it's you.
Right. Nobody would put that together.
Except that it's going to look like Abe Vigoda. He has a couple of me's on his chest.
Strangest photo on the internet. Maybe.
That one I might be proud of.
Right.
I don't know.
Abe Vigoda right now is shaking his head no from beyond.
Poor Abe Vigoda.
If he was still alive,
I'd do it because maybe I could get an interview with
him. Right. All right. So it looks like world.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, world. You will not see the fish bra with Abe Vigoda, pictures of Abe Vigoda in strategically placed places.
I'll think about it. I have to. Seriously.
If you're not comfortable with it,
until I thought about what Diane said.
Oh, Diane. Worst caller of the year. We will see you, Diane, at the Worst Caller of the Year Awards in January.
You're mean.
No, I'm kidding.
You're mean when you want to.
We had a worst caller.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, Dick Gregory. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show, Bill and Wendy WGN.
All righty. It is 1:29 and it is time for the news. Bill has done an artist rendering.
Yeah, there's an artist rendering that
I think. We can put that up on
Facebook.
This
is appropriate. We can put this up on Facebook. This is kind of what you did.
It looks like there's a woman with Curious George heads instead of breasts.
Yeah, it's hard to drive Pagoda.
All right, we'll put that on our Facebook page.
But this won't get a single hit.
Oh, I bet
this
it will.
This will be the first thing in the history of the internet that will not get one hit.
It'll get several,
you think
trust
it will?
Me. Yes. All right. It's 1:30 right now, and time for the news. Here's Ryan Burrow.
All right, if you're just joining us, Wendy, and with good reason, I've been saying to Wendy all along, Wendy, you got to rethink this. You don't want to put a picture on the internet that could incriminate you or make your children less proud of you. So please, please,
they're
Wendy,
not proud
rethink
of me anyway.
This. Oh, then put it up. What have you got to lose? There's a trend on going on right now called fish brying, where women use fish as a bra. They will take a fish. They will catch a fish.
I love how guys say bra.
Bra.
Hey, bra.
What's up, bra? So they'll go out. You know what they'll do, Wendy, is a woman will rent a pontoon boat, and she'll go out on the lake, and she'll catch herself a nice fish. And then instead of filleting the fish, she will hold it. She'll take her top off and hold the fish up to cover herself and then put a picture on the internet. And it's very confusing. We don't know how we should react.
And then fillet the fish.
And then you, yes.
And then after, she'll clean the fish.
Once it's cleaned and filleted, and then they sit down to a bountiful feast. So I said to you, Wendy, earlier. Yes. I said, you should get in on this trend. This is very, very hot right now. Everybody's doing this. And you said, oh, how would we do it? And I said, we'll take some pictures of Abe Vigoda, who played fish, and put them in the right places and put that on the internet. We'll get dozens of hits. We'll get like a dozen or so hits. And you took the picture, but now you're a little nervous about putting it on the internet.
Yeah, I forgot that I have kids that are also on the internet.
Right. They could see the picture, and it would scorn them. Their eyes would burn. So then I said, well, I'll do an artist rendering, and I just did a quick sketch of
You're
what you look
artist,
like.
By the way.
It looks like a photograph, doesn't it? It doesn't even
exactly.
look like a sketch. It looks like you're looking at a photograph.
You're better than Verna Sadock.
Sadock. Thank you.
You know, the person who is in the courtroom
Verna
all the time.
Verna Haddock in this case. So... Right? All right, so Kevin...
The two of you are like fist bumping in the air.
Yeah, we're very proud.
God.
So Kevin, is that... Can we put that on the internet?
Oh, it's already there.
That's already there. And I said, this, it pales in comparison to the actual photo. I don't even think this will get one hit. Who would want to see this?
Where would someone go to find a photo like that?
The Facebook page, Ryan. That's a great question. Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on Facebook. But get it now, because I think the censors over at Facebook will take it down once they see it. It's very provocative.
Zuckerberg going through every photo people are posting. Yep.
And saving the pictures.
Yes.
I think the face you drew on Wendy is about appropriate for how she feels about it all.
Yeah.
Do I look disgusted?
Disenchanted.
Yes.
You look disenchanted.
Well, I think Stephanie Menendez has edited it. So it's cropped a little more.
Did she do a cleaner version of the picture?
Maybe by the end of the day.
Oh, are you considering it?
Yeah.
Now you got texts from people with horrible stories saying, please, for the love of all that is good, don't do this. Don't compromise your morals. And what they don't know is... You don't have any morals. They don't know that.
Listen,
people don't know that.
Gretchen's in her car, and she's hitting the nail on the head.
What is it? What does she say?
She says, wow, replay this segment and listen to it yourselves. Your listeners know this is the usual silly shtick, but it had the same creep vibe.
Vibe?
Yes.
Did you pass out?
No.
Oh, there you go.
It is the Gretchen Carr something mashup you played the other day, which I wasn't
here. I don't want that.
Gretchen Carlson, was
it? Gretchen Carlson is on Fox News, and her two partners,
that's who it is.
Lenny
okay.
and Squiggy, keep saying things to her that are just awful and inappropriate, and I don't want that. If that's the case, then please, Wendy, do not post this photograph. I beg of you.
Okay.
Don't do it.
And somebody says, slow topic day, you've been on the stupid skit
yes.
for the better part of your show. Can you please move on?
Yes.
Can I just say it's not a skit?
It's not a skit, no.
And don't people say sketches usually?
You can say either one. Yeah, either
a
one.
A skit?
A skit or a sketch, sure.
I like your costume for this skit.
Thank you. My mom was appalled at sewing it. I look like a little bugle boy. A
lot of felt.
Yeah, there's a lot of felt in my costume for this skit.
All right, well, we will move on and just keep checking our Facebook page. That's all I'm going
to
say.
We will gladly move on, but what we're about to talk about is inspired by this. We were talking about Abe Vigoda, because you used pictures of Abe Vigoda to represent the fish since he played fish. I finally got my daughter Kylie to watch The Godfather with me. HBO, several months ago, did a recut version of The Godfather. Now, in my opinion, The Godfather and The Godfather 2 are the two greatest movies of all time. You can't get better than The Godfather and The Godfather 2. They're
of
perfect.
Of all time? Of every single movie?
Of every movie,
movie
I've ever seen. I've never seen anything. My two favorite movies of all time are The Godfather and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but for different reasons. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory just reminds me of just being a kid, and it's a great movie.
And it's a great fantasy for a kid.
It's a great fantasy. It's a fun story. But The Godfather is just, to me, it's a masterpiece, and it's flawless. There's nothing wrong with it.
Directorially? Because I know you were a film student.
In every way. It's just, it's the way it's shot is beautiful. It's just, every shot looks like it's a masterpiece in terms of art, the character development, the storyline, everything about it. I just love it. And my daughters, they'd never seen it. So I begged them at some point when this came out in January, I think.
Yeah.
We have to sit down and we have to watch it. Now, keep in mind, it's 7 hours and 20 minutes long.
That's a commitment.
It's long because you got Godfather 1 and Godfather 2, and it's all in chronological order. Right.
Which I feel would be a better way to watch it, because I don't like prequels and sequels. I like to watch something with the beginning, a middle, and an end.
Normally, I would 100% agree with you, but the way that Francis Ford Coppola, who directed it, did it, when the first Godfather came out, it starts with Connie's wedding, and you don't see the flashbacks of young Vito Corleone, Vito Andolini, later Corleone, until Godfather 2,
right,
when they tell the early story and the later story of Michael becoming the Godfather. People know this.
You should still explain it, but I'm just glad I remember these things.
In almost every case, I would totally agree with you and say, yeah, you want to go chronological. And it's masterful the way in this version of it, in complete epic, it's all seamless from the very beginning. It starts in 1901 and it runs till modern. It's just, I love it. Okay. So I convinced my daughter to sit down and watch it with me. Now, there were little bits and pieces that I shared with her during the movie. I usually wouldn't stop a movie, but every once in a while I would stop it and say, here's something you need to know, and I would point something out. And she liked that aspect of it, that I would give her little insights into the characters and why things were done a certain way.
Would you like it if somebody did that to you while watching
a movie? I'd hate it.
I know. I'm thinking of it. Because sometimes it sucks watching a movie with someone who's already seen it, because they can't help themselves and they'll go, oh my God, this is such a great part.
Right.
But your little tidbits were very fascinating. Isn't she going to do film?
She wants
going
to be to school? She wants to get involved in it. And that's why I said to her, because she had never seen it, if I was hiring somebody to work on a movie, and I said to you, what do you think of The Godfather? Just threw that out there, and she goes, oh, I never saw it. I wouldn't hire her based on that, just
that's
the fact that she had never seen The Godfather. So for months and months and months, I kept saying to her, Kylie, we have to sit down. You got to watch The Godfather with me. And something always came up. She wanted to invest 7.5 hours. So then, and I know this is blackmail, but a couple of weeks ago, she saw the clothes online that she wanted to buy. And she said, they're having a 24-hour sale. If I don't get them now, they'll be twice as much. And I said, I'll make you a deal. We've been talking about seeing The Godfather. Order them today, but in the next 2 weeks, you have to sit down with me and watch The Godfather, which is that's the wrong way to do it, but that's the way we did it. And she agreed to it.
People have to bribe their kids sometimes.
It shouldn't be that way.
I know, but it's a different time.
I know.
You know, there's more to buy. Our parents didn't have to bribe us because really there wasn't that much to buy. There wasn't an internet to go shopping.
Right. And it wasn't open 24 hours a day.
I know. That's fine.
Now, I'm not proud of that's what it took to finally get her to sit down and watch it.
Have you finished it?
We're not done. We're
have
only
you given
a little
her the
bit
top?
Of the way. Yeah, she's worn the clothes.
Okay, that is the wrong
I did
thing.
That backwards. I did that backwards.
She's never going to watch the end of it with you.
I know. All right. The reason I bring it up is, well, can we take a quick break and then
yes.
I'll explain? Because it all, believe me, this. I know this sounds like I'm coming at this from 1,000 different directions, and I am. But
that's
there's
being
a
parent.
Reason. There's a reason. All right. That's coming up next. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, here's the point of my story. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We're at 312-981-7200. We're talking about several things, and this is inspired by the late, great Abe Vigoda, who died a few months ago. Tessio, Sal Tessio in the Godfather movies. I'm watching it, and it's the first time I had seen... Now, I've seen The Godfather several times, and it's one of those things that every time I see it, different things occur to me. I notice different things. I feel differently about different characters and different scenes every time I see it. All right, so this is what occurred to me this time around as I'm watching it. Marlon Brando, who plays Don Vito Corleone, masterfully throughout
the movie.
He's pretty
fantastic in that movie.
So perfect. Is 47 years old when he's playing Vito Corleone. So it's the first time I've seen it, it's in its entirety, that I'm now older than Marlon Brando was when he played The Godfather.
How did that make you feel?
I can't even describe it to you. Because I'm watching this, and now keep in mind, many years have passed since Marlon Brando played this role, and I've seen it several times, but I've never been older than him when he played it, and I don't know what to make of it, because he seems... And he's playing a guy who's in his 60s.
I was just going to say, even though Marlon Brando was 47, right, his character Don Corleone was way...
In his 60s, yeah. So there's that aspect of it, but still the fact that he, Marlon Brando, at that age, 47, could play that layered of a character, like on my best day, I couldn't come close to touching what he did in that movie. And most legitimate actors couldn't, but it just, I'm like, well, how could a guy that age... Yeah.
You're right.
And I compare it to Carol O'Connor, who in my head, when he's Archie Bunker, same exact age. He started playing Archie Bunker at the age of 47 years old. But to this day, when I come across an All in the Family rerun, he's way, 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 way older than I am now.
Well, yeah. He was only 47. Yeah. He looked like 67.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess this is a testament to those guys. But it's so strange to see that, because it doesn't make sense in my head as I'm watching it going, that version of Marlon Brando is younger than I am now, but look at what he's doing. He's so good at
this. He's whacking people.
Well, that part's bad. And that's just pretend. He didn't really actually kill people. It was just makeup and stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
How many times would you say you've seen The Godfather?
In its entirety, probably 8 or 9 times, but it's the perfect example of a movie that if I'm flipping around on cable and it's on, I'll go, oh, I love this scene. And then 2 hours later, I'm still watching it.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Did you like Goodfellas as much?
Not as much, but Goodfellas is a great movie too. But in my opinion, there's nothing that comes close to it. It's just everything about it is perfect. Although there's little, I told you this, because it's in chronological order, there's a couple of major characters in it. Tessio is one of them. Clemenza is another one that you get to know in the original Godfather. But then in the flashback scenes, when they're played by younger actors, including Bruno Kirby.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. In both of those cases of those two guys that later on figure out to be major characters, their first lines of dialogue, the first time you see Clemenza, for no reason at all, he's talking to Robert De Niro, and he goes, I'm Clemenza, and then he says the rest of his lines. And the same with Tessio. The first time you see his character, he goes, I'm Tessio, and then he gives his lines. And, like, if you knew me for years and years, you would just go, I'm Wendy Snyder, and then say something to me.
True.
I go, yeah, I know, I've worked with you for a long time. Why'd you say that? But then I had to explain to my daughter, that's because they were told in flashback, so that was their way of saying to the audience, here's some characters you already know, but it's the early version of them. But it just came out like, yeah, I know who you are. We're friends, remember? You don't have to tell me who you are.
Yeah, but couldn't that, if you're talking about the best director ever, couldn't you have done that in a different way? Like, even with our promos, we don't go, I'm Wendy, I'm Bill. It's
right.
Like we go, hey, Bill,
right.
What, Wendy?
Yeah, it could have been done a lot cleaner. Yeah, you know what?
I'm Tessio.
Right, isn't that weird that he would just say that? I was waiting for De Niro to go, oh, yeah, yeah, from yesterday and the day before. Yeah, that's right. I remember you. Sure, Tessio, sure. Yeah, there's plenty of little things like that, but overall,
Why wouldn't they edit that little part out, though?
I don't know.
That's my question. Because it was, you know, remixed and everything and done to be put in chronological order.
Right.
And it does play perfectly
way.
You've
it's
seen it
so
in
good.
Its entirety in the chronological one?
Yeah. The
see
first
that.
Time it was on television on NBC, they did it that way. They did it in chronological order. But then there were still a bunch of scenes they couldn't show because they were too graphic for TV. But now on the HBO version, they show you those scenes. And then even a couple of other scenes. And I hate to be promoting this because HBO isn't showing it anymore. I DVR'd it in January, and we're just now getting to it.
It isn't out there on Netflix or Hulu?
It's not. And it's not on DVD either. You can get the movies separately, but it's not this version of it where it's all in order. This was an HBO exclusive.
Can I come to your house and
you
tell me all the little interesting tidbits and stuff?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, at some point you'll go, all right, I get it. You've seen that, you know this stuff. Please leave me alone.
But these are like Easter eggs you're pointing out, and that I love that stuff.
Yeah.
You should rent yourself out to watch.
Just come to people's houses.
Just for The Godfather.
Not other movies.
No.
What are you watching, Miss Congeniality 2? I got some fun facts for you. I'll sit down and tell you the fun facts.
Richard wants to jump into this conversation. Hi, Richard. You like The Godfather?
Good afternoon, Bill. Good afternoon, Wendy. How are you today?
Great, right. Richard. Great. How are you? Everything good?
Oh, I'm hanging.
Good.
I'm hanging.
Good.
I wanted to chime in. First off, regarding when NBC showed it, I believe it was 1983 because it was the year I got my contact lenses.
Oh.
I was starting the eighth grade, and I got my contact lenses. So I think in August of 1983, and it was called The Godfather Saga.
That's it, exactly.
They put it in chronological order.
Yeah.
So that's that. But I was talking to Kevin before you guys put me on about people looking older back then. And I think it's because people were older back then. They started out their lives earlier. They did things sooner. And that made them worldly, not only in just how they looked, but in how they carried themselves.
Yeah.
And I was telling Kevin, a perfect example of this is the Andy Griffith Show. Andy Griffith and Don Knotts were in their mid-30s. But even when you look at them now on that show,
they seem older.
5 years ago, they look like they're in their mid-50s. And they appear to be very settled and all of that. So when you say that Carol O'Connor was 47 years old and he was doing All in the Family, yeah, probably because by the time he was 47 years old, he had been doing a lot of adult things from probably the time he was 14 or 15. And that really does have an effect on how you appear.
You seem more world-weary. Both those guys, certainly Don Vito Corleone or Archie Bunker, just seems more just beaten down by the world to some extent, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Those are the characters they played, and it showed all over their faces. Because, you know, by the time Marlon Brando is doing The Godfather, his career was not in a good place.
No.
But he had already been in Hollywood for over 20 years.
Yeah.
By then. So, you know, he had done the musical Guys and Dolls that he got laughed at about, and he was trying to do other things. You know, so that world weariness, it shows.
It did.
A good actor can take the stuff that, you know, they learn more from their failures than they do their successes, and it shows on the screen. It shows in their performance.
So true.
That's what I was talking about.
Very insightful. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
Appreciate it.
And according, as of this January, you could see The Godfather Saga on HBO Go. So I don't know if like a part of HBO On Demand or something like that.
I did a search to see if it's still running on HBO this month. And in our search, on our satellite search, it covers every channel that they have. No version of HBO was showing it this month. And it's too bad because this version of it should always be accessible. I know it's got to be somewhere. It's not on
Netflix.
DVD. Does Netflix
for
have
rent
it?
On DVD or Blu-ray?
Oh,
I don't know if you can stream it, but you can get it.
Oh,
and
really?
At your favorite video store.
Oh yeah,
is there one out there still?
There's none by me.
Isn't that
anyone?
Sad?
Yeah, I can't find a video store. They're gone.
There were a couple places that were going out of business, and I kept meaning to go there to buy some movies cheap, but it made me sad. I couldn't.
There's
do
There's nothing near us. All right, we'll take a quick break. News is next. Ryan has the news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and I have to tell you, all I get is cheap sunglasses because I always lose them.
Yeah, that's a good policy. They're easy to lose, they're easy to break, aren't they?
But then there's no remorse.
Yeah.
Because it's like, whatever.
That's true, too. Did you have an incident? Is everything all right?
No, I
I just, you know, forget that you shouldn't put glasses lens side down,
no.
So you scratch them quite a bit.
Oh, Wendy, that's not good.
But isn't it like the blue blocker? Wasn't it impervious? Like, didn't they try to saw it with a knife? It was a Ginsu kind of protected
right.
thing.
Right.
Ask Kevin. He has a pair of blue blockers.
He does have blue block. Kevin, our producer, does. That's Dane Neal, by the way, that you hear right. from Access Appetite and the star of the Dane Neal show. Star. Kevin, you have blue blockers, don't you?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Now, how's that going for you?
Well, I lost my nice pair of sunglasses, so I'm using those only now.
The nice ones were the ones where you could see behind you, were those ones with the little mirror on the side.
The folks at Blue Blocker just cringed that they're not in the category
right.
of the nice. Because more you know
nice.
What? Everything looks more vibrant.
Right.
It
brings the color out.
Right.
Yeah. You could go. There was a time where you could go to Osco and they would have 40 different varieties of blue blocker sunglasses.
They didn't have that many kinds, did they? They had aviators. They had square ones. I think they had like three.
Didn't they have like the Buddy Hollies? They had like the old librarian.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever you are, you need your blue blocker.
For your own personality. That's right? So true. Dane, we're here to talk to you about a couple things. Not all of them sunglasses related.
No.
Right?
In fact, we've pretty much exhausted our Sundex.
That's all right. There's
content.
A huge event coming up that we wanted to discuss.
Oh, it's the hugest. It is the biggest. It is Chicago's premier barbecue festival that is happening only, I think, 5 years old, but it's gone from 5,000 people
mm-hmm.
when it was just down the street here to now where it's grand in the river 3 days. 40,000 people are going to be there for Windy City Smokeout.
40,000 people. That's quite a number.
It's yet to have happened. So these are Tom Skilling like projections.
Oh, all right.
So if the end of the world, industrial apocalypse, zombie apocalypse, or maybe rain, and could change that. But they're expecting.
The
yeah, they're ready for 40,000.
All right. How did this happen in 5 years? How did it go from just such a small thing to such a gigantic thing in just five?
Well, I think
what
they did is they tapped into it. Is Doug Saltis over there at Bub City and some of the people from Lettuce, as well as some of the preeminent and best known barbecue people in the country, have gotten together and they tapped into what was kind of an unquenched thirst for barbecue
mm-hmm.
And then combined it with some top country music acts. And so now you have this thing. I don't know that anyone thought it was going to be this big, but
you got to get outside in the summer. So really, I can see this thing growing and growing.
Well, they're almost to what I would say would be capacity. Took some pictures of it the last time. And even though it's a really big space, it is absolutely filled. When it gets a little bit later on the night. So if you love the music, you can definitely do some of the acts. We'll talk about some of the singing sensations that will be out there on the countryside. But on the food side, you know, barbecue-wise, you've got not only local barbecue, which is great. We've had Lily's Q in. Of course, mm-hmm. Smoke, you know, mm-hmm. is a really good one. But they brought in Salt Lick from Texas, Pappy's from St. Louis, Pat Martin's, which is, in my opinion, some of the best barbecue in the world. I haven't traveled the world tasting it,
but
it's very well respected both on the chef and the food side. And so he's going to be up here along with Dinosaur Barbecue and then Myron Mixon. And a little bit after the next break, hope to have Myron Mixon in studio. He's the culinary headliner for this, the winningest man in barbecue.
About a year ago, wasn't he? We had him in the studio about a year ago.
We had Dr. Barbecue in.
Oh, yeah. Ray Lampley.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Dr. Barbecue, Ray Lampley, who's also a barbecue Lampley. Hall of Famer.
Right. But not an actual doctor, as Wendy learned. She showed him some weird tissue that he wasn't pleased with.
Will you stop?
I saw the Abe Vigoda pictures.
Yeah.
We showed him Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, right.
And he didn't know what to do with that.
Crazy.
No, he's a doctor of great taste. Yes. Dr. Barbecue, local Chicagoan.
It's hot in here again.
Yes.
And a contemporary of Myron's, but Myron you'll know from the hit TV show Pitmasters. He's
like
the star on that. He's a four-time world barbecue champion. He's gonna be a local in a short period of time coming up. He's gonna open up a barbecue restaurant over near Wrigleyville, but this weekend he'll be here serving up whole hog that he's famous for at Windy City Smokeout.
The whole thing, he just cooks the whole thing up.
The whole thing.
Oh man,
the whole thing, and people line up for it.
You
they
gotta
absolutely
go whole hog.
I guess you do. What would you say, Dane, are the biggest trends in barbecue? You know, in the old days, it was just ribs and burgers, but it's so much more than that now.
Well, I think putting potato chips on your sloppy Joe. I think that's... No,
are
I'm just kidding.
That?
No, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I just throw that out there. You know what? It's hard to say. They're going to have... I think they're going to have some Nashville hot chicken there, too. Even though that's not necessarily barbecue, they're going to have some of that.
I finally witnessed that. Went to Prince's.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Chicken. Wow, you did that. Okay.
My son, Michael, said, we've got to have it. And
mm-hmm.
and he looked it up, and Prince's was the main place.
It is like the genesis point for that whole thing. And there's
hot.
Yes. Well, they've got probably like a hot and then sort of a... still hot but wimpy.
They have mild. They have what is it? Mild, medium, hot, double hot, triple hot. But I had to try hot. You're there. You got to try it. But it's like cayenne pepper and paprika.
Oh,
it's,
wow.
It's a fried chicken, and they serve it either you get a breast and a wing connected or a wing and a thigh. Or excuse me, a leg and a thigh, and it's fried, but then there's this, it's like a red coating on it, but not like a liquid sauce. It's like powdery.
It's like a paste that they kind of bake
is on, that what it is?
Onto it. And,
it's the dragon's breath.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's that hot.
Well, you
it's
know, good, Bill, though. If they make you sign a waiver form.
that's borderline
then you
hot.
Know, maybe you should be concerned.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's a great story. For princes, and the way that it happened, this is like a hot trend. It's going on. We've got it here in Chicago, all around the country. Is it started out where I guess the Mr. Prince was, you know, kind of a philandering chicken impresario at the time, or not really. He hadn't really gotten anything, but he loved chicken, right? And so he wanted a chicken breakfast. He had apparently, you know, not been as faithful as he could have been the night before, and his girlfriend at the time, or as it's described by him, his old lady, right? Depending on where you are on the planet. She, in order to spite him, like made him the hottest, most unpleasantly tasting chicken she could.
Seriously?
And you know what? He loved it. And then he dumped her and started a chicken place with his brother. And
it's
I don't
small.
Know.
What... and we waited like 45 minutes. It's like deep fried and made there.
Yep. Well, there should be some of that. I don't want to plug too much because I'm not
the
exactly...
best foods, though, Dane, usually come out of some infidelity, don't they? Wouldn't you agree with me?
Well, you never know. Taste. I think that's what you call in this business the silver lining, right? A lot of negative, you know, some turmoil, family.
He turned it into a positive.
He turned it into a positive for many people, unless, of course, you're having the El Diablo platter. And then,
different story.
A little unpleasant, too. So they're going to have, though, at Windy City Smoke, Princes won't be there, but Salt Lick, Pappy's, Martin's, Dinosaur Smoke, Bub City, Myron Mixon, plus Great Craft Beers and some
quite
amazing music. Yep.
That's a very impressive lineup. All right, we'll be back more with Dane Neal from Access Appetite and the Dane Neal Show over on WGN Plus. And we believe Myron Mixon, one of the barbecue stars that's coming up.
One of its brightest stars.
One of its brightest stars. A supernova.
Yeah.
Yep, that's in just a moment. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We are talking with Dane Neal, and we have a special guest in the studio.
Oh, the specialist.
Well, it's not you.
No. Oh, yeah. Well, I knew that.
Sorry, Dane.
I knew that. I'm aware of that. That's fine. In studio, I present to you, we have the undisputed winningest man in the world of barbecue. He's an author with Barbecue Rules, an educator, right? Mm-hmm. Soon to be local, going to have his own new restaurant near Wrigleyville, and the culinary headliner for this year's Windy City Smokeout, and every year, where he's been there the whole time, the one and only Myron Mixon. Welcome.
Myron, nice to see
it's
you.
Glad to be here, guys.
Thank you so much for being here. I know you don't want to give away trade secrets, but how do you keep doing this? How do you keep surpassing what you've done in the past and winning these competitions? What are you doing?
You have to kind of, what is it, legends don't die, they reinvent themselves.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's something
it.
Like that. Not necessarily thinking I'm a legend, but... I teach classes, and I teach the real deal where my students can leave and go win grand championships. I've been beaten by my students. But with that being said, you got to go out and reinvent. You got to tweak your flavor profiles. You got to come up with some new ideas.
Yeah.
And you would always think that everything's ever been done has already been done in barbecue, but it hadn't. You know, there's a lot of things out there you can still do.
I am the barbecuer at our house. My husband either burns it or it's raw. And so he lays on the hammock having a beer while I barbecue. And I say to him, you know, aren't you worried about what the neighbors say? And he goes, no, the neighbors are like, how did you figure out how to do that? You can lay there and have beers while she's doing all the cooking.
He needs to write a book for that.
That's not a bad idea. But I find, and I'm not a great barbecuer with steaks or pulled pork or ribs or anything, but it's practice, isn't
it?
Yeah,
I mean, it is practice. I mean, and it's also a lot of other things, but practice is a big part of it. Knowing your grill. A lot of times guys and gals get out there and they get their smokers. They play around with it on the weekends, but you don't learn a lot by just cooking for a couple hours. You know, you got to cook on it. You got to cook every day for a little while till you figure everything out. Then you got to have good meat. You got to start, you know, the old computer gig, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
Same thing with barbecue. You got to have great meat to turn out a good product at the end.
Makes
now,
sense.
Now, he has the school, and I know he travels for a little bit of the school. I've had the pleasure of interviewing Myron on South Beach. I've interviewed him next to his pit. at the American Royal, and of course here in Chicago. So, Myron, as you travel, of course, barbecue's always been big in the South, multi-generations of you guys doing it. But now as you travel Chicago, I mean, this Windy City Smokeout is about the biggest thing going.
Yes, it is. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing like the Windy City Smokeout in the South.
Yeah.
And you would think there would be, but even Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta's 120 miles from me. Nobody down there puts barbecue, the country entertainment, the craft beers, the food, and all this stuff together like in a package like they do here. You know, Doug Saldus got it, really started it all with Let Us Entertain You. It's a one of a kind.
You'd think in the South it would be the party.
I think, though, and I tell people this all the time about everybody wants barbecue restaurants. I said I'd never put one in anywhere south of the Mason-Dixon because everybody's got smokers.
Oh.
And that's a lot to be said. Maybe that's why it's big up here is because it's still, not saying that it's never been barbecue up here, but it's not been barbecue here the way it's been in the South.
Right, right, right.
You know.
Can I ask you, this is a mistake that I've made barbecuing, and I've been told it's a mistake, but I don't know why it's a mistake. Whenever I would grill anything from hamburgers to shish kebab or anything, I would continuously flip it over. I would let it cook a little bit. But people keep saying to me, no, one flip. Don't believe it. I'll use your name as a reference.
Yeah. Tell them if they don't like it, call me.
You can, all right, I will do that. But you say it's fine.
Yes, flip the thing about it is you're cooking over direct heat, especially burger, steaks, chops, and it's hot heat, anywhere from 500 to 800 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean, if it starts getting overcooked, don't lay it there because some idiot told you can't flip it but once, so I'm going to burn it up.
Yeah.
And do you turn the heat down then? Because I like to sear something at the high heat, and then I, like for a thick steak, I'll turn it down a little bit to medium.
Well, you can
high.
Do that with gas. You could cut it down with that. But if you're using charcoal, I mean, you got to flip it. I mean,
right.
That's why God gave you a spatula.
That's exactly
right. Just in case you wondered where you got that.
That's true. It
wasn't R.J. Spatula, the utensil king who came up with that.
That's right.
I wanted to ask you, Myron, as you travel, of course, front and center on Pitmasters and, of course, at the schools. But when you come up to an event like this, and I was telling Bill and Wendy during the last segment, is one of the things that makes Windy City Smokeout so great. It isn't just the local barbecue, which we have, and we're doing at a high level. But you have some of the biggest stars in barbecue in the country here. You know, you've got Pat Martin, you've got Salt Lick, you've got Pappy. I mean, you have some recognizable names.
I mean, and the thing about it is they come here. And that goes back to Doug Saltus. You know, he gets these people here. He gets talent from all across the country. Mike Mills, you know, Apple City Barbecue, 17th Street Barbecue out of Murfreesboro, Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, these are big names in competition barbecue. I mean, Mike Mills, first three-time world champion there's ever been.
Yep.
With his team back in the late 80s, early 90s. A legend in barbecue. And you got this guy here cooking barbecue this weekend.
How about that?
And unlike the competitions, and I've described this for you guys before, where everybody's there, it's all serious, but they're just cooking for judges. Here, they're cooking for the people. You know, the people get to enjoy
That's
all
perfect.
This stuff.
Is this catching on in other parts of the world, or is it strictly an American thing?
No, it's catching on in other parts of the world. Right now, I got the two shows that we do for Destination America, which is a Discovery Family Network.
Mm-hmm.
I do my classes. I do one a month except for August and July. It's just too hot in South Georgia to do them.
Sure.
And Discovery cut a deal with their media to put it international. My classes, I do like 85 students in a class. Probably every class we do, I have 10 from Australia. I have 4 or 5 from Europe. I have Dubai. Dubai's big. We have a lot from Asia. South Korea is big. It's international. I mean, everybody. But the thing about it is they already had some style of barbecue. Every country has. They want Americanized barbecue.
Really?
They want, you know, the thing back then used to be everybody wanted Marlboro cigarettes and the Levi's?
Yeah.
Same deal. They want American barbecue where they're at. Matter of fact, not next week, week after next, I go to Sweden, teach a class, Stockholm.
Wow.
I think you'll fit right in.
Yeah,
right. Will you be barbecuing herring? What will you be barbecuing in Sweden?
As long as they pay me, I'll cook anything.
And Lyle Dean, legendary WGN newsman, just called in, didn't want to go on the air, but his son went to your barbecue university, and they have been raving about it, and his son's a pretty darn good cook.
Good deal.
So
proud of him.
People are going to be enjoying Jack's Old South and Myron's stuff at Windy City Smokeout all weekend long. But coming up, in the near future, you're going to actually be, you know, planting your own flag right here in the Chicagoland area.
That's
with a new
great,
sure,
restaurant.
Wrigleyville up on Clark. It's going to be Myra Mix and Smoke Shell Barbecue.
When can people finally experience that?
This is right now because, you know, everything, you're jumping through hoops. We've been on the build out since February.
Yeah.
We're looking somewhere around the August 5th.
Yeah. Good.
But not definite, but we'll have more about it. But August 5th, matter of fact, sometime today I got to run up and.
Oh,
my son David is up there now, and it's great. It's a cool spot.
I can't wait. That's going to be wonderful.
Spot. Congratulations.
We got the pits. We got the Myra Mix and Smokers that we build in Connecticut. Got them out front where, while you're dining, you can watch the pit masters work.
Right.
Load, unload.
There's some visuals
that be
to
great?
Go along with
it's
all the
cool.
I have to ask you this. You're the only person who could answer this for me. I've eaten in not one, not two, but three different restaurants around the country where they use the phrase, barbecue's so good, you'll smack your pappy. What is it about barbecue that would make you want to be violent toward one of your own parents? I don't understand it.
I don't know. I can't.
Isn't that crazy?
Imagine. Yeah,
I don't understand it.
I can't imagine.
It's not the answer. You know, violence.
No, yeah. Violence never is the answer.
Well, if I'd have tried that with my dad, he'd have beat me down.
I don't want that. No one wants that.
That's why God made spatulas.
That's right.
Down.
That's right. Wendy nailed it.
And the Myra Mix and barbecue tool.
I tell people all the time, everybody said, well, you know, did you respect your dad? I said, sure, I respected him. I said, but after I got older, I said, respect and fear was the same thing to me. I was scared to death of my dad.
Dane, you have a great prize for somebody.
Yep. Well, we wanted Myra to be able to give out information on the school, your website, so that people can kind of check out and see those classes coming up.
Right. Go to jacksoulsouth.com.
jacksoulsouth.com. And for those people that want to experience Windy City Smokeout and get a chance to see Myron and all those guys this weekend, I guess probably since this is the fifth year they've been doing it, maybe the fifth caller, we've got 2 3-day passes for people to get in there and enjoy it.
Good. So be the fifth caller right now at 312-981-7200, and you will win those tickets that Dane just described. Again, the fifth caller, 312-981-7200.
Thank you, Myron.
Thank you all very
great
much.
Great to meet you. Thanks
good
so much,
you.
Myron. Dane, thanks a ton.
You bet.
We'll let you know who the winner is in just a little bit. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Mary Schmeek has come to visit us. And I didn't know you were such a singer-songwriter.
I am not a singer.
All right, songwriter.
Songwriter for sure.
I am a parody songwriter.
Is that what you are?
Weird yes. Al Jr.
Yes. Very little makes me happier than writing parody songs.
Oh, sure.
Really? You like doing that?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And Rob Blagojevich gave me an excuse to do it. Yesterday.
Explain away, because I already know this story, but this is really
funny.
I'm
sure funny. You must have talked about this, yeah.
You know, it didn't come up on the show.
Really?
I saw this at the house. My family really? Talked about this, but Wendy and I didn't discuss this at all during the show. We already knew that Rod Blagojevich was in jail, and they were trying to determine how he spends his days in jail.
Right.
And we learned something
right.
valuable.
He's trying to get out sooner than
right.
the 14 years that he was given. So part of that story, the Tribune reported yesterday, that one of the things that he did, has done in prison in mm-hmm. Colorado, is he started a band called the Jailhouse Rockers.
Great name.
And that is a great
name. I know,
name.
It is a great name. And they are on hiatus now because the lead guitarist was released.
Oh, man.
All right, that sucks. Usually in the real world, your guitarist gets arrested and has
right.
to go into jail.
Right.
But this is like...
Oh.
See, but that's... But apparently, you know, the Jailhouse Rockers performed at a 4th of July celebration
oh.
and some other thing. So anyway, this just inspired me to think, well, what's in... The Jailhouse Rockers songbook. What songs are they performing?
Uh-huh.
So I came up with a few, but unfortunately, I can't really sing.
Oh,
yes,
no.
You can. I heard you singing
okay,
out
but
there.
Okay, but you have to help me.
I'll help
okay,
you.
Okay. So one of them was
what's
yesterday.
Our band name going to be, by the way? Our out-of-prison band that we're going to... Because it's not fair. I've always wanted to be in a band.
Right.
It's not fair, you
this
know.
This is it. This is it, baby.
Here's your chance.
You're on. We'll work on the title while we're singing. So one of them was yesterday. Y'all have to help me here.
All right, go ahead.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Nothing wrong, I thought, with pay to play. Oh, I believed that. Yesterday, suddenly, I was not the gov I used to be. Bleepin' Resco hanging over me. Oh, things went wrong so suddenly. Why I had to go, I don't know. I'm not a creep. I did nothing wrong, save for say the bad word, bleep. Yesterday, I just did things the Chicago way. Now I've got my Western hideaway. I'm calmer now than yesterday.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
You brought tears to our eyes, Mary.
I do suspect, actually, that Rod is calmer now.
Do you think he is?
He was. I actually do. Yeah.
Because why? Why do you think that?
What's he have to get him upset in there?
He's in a very controlled environment. According to our story, the other inmates like him. Yeah. He mentors them.
He teaches classes. He works out.
A likable guy. Yeah. I mean, I've met him. I'm sure you have too. And just honestly likable, charismatic, and seems like a lot of fun, and really idolized Elvis and probably doesn't have a bad voice.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know, he sang before. Yeah. We have a photo in the paper today of him singing at some campaign event.
Yeah, right.
You know, outside a restaurant right over
He's
here.
He's not too shabby on the talent side.
Yeah, he sings better than I do.
No, you did a lovely job.
I have a couple more here.
Don't we have, like, Beatles karaoke to play underneath us?
I think Kevin's looking for it. No luck so far.
All you need is love.
Something to give me a key. They tried to make me go to prison, and I said, no, no, no. Yes, I've been bad, and that made you sad, but so, I ain't doing time. And if my Patty thinks I'm fine, you can't make me go to prison. I won't go.
Well, that's beautiful. That's perfect.
How's Patty doing during all this?
I don't know. I'm sure it's a terribly difficult time for her. You know, I'm really worried. I really worry about his kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're really the innocents in all of this.
They had nothing to do with what was going on, and I felt bad for Patty Blagojevich when they heard all her swearing, being that of a swearer myself.
Right.
You know, she didn't think anybody was listening to her. You should hear me when I think no one's listening to me.
Right. Right.
I really felt bad about that. I
me
did.
Too.
You
me
know,
too.
He should have just gathered up all the other governors from Illinois that have been in jail, and that would have been a great band.
Hello, Governors.
Right.
That could have been their band.
That could have been the band name, the Hello, Governors.
Now, not all the songs that the Jailhouse Rockers would sing were about Rod and his predicament.
Oh, no?
Now, I know this will not go over well with some of your listeners, but one of their songs
is what?
Bad Man Rising.
Okay, let's hear that.
I see a bad man rising. I see the Donald on his way. I hear the trash talk and the lying. Glad I am locked in here today. Don't go out tonight. You might get in a fight. There's a bad man on the rise. I hear the hot, hot air blowing. I fear the end is coming soon. I hear the insults overflowing. I hear the voice of rage and ruin. Don't go out tonight. You might get in a fight. There's a bad man on the rise.
Wow.
Thanks for keeping time there,
Mary.
Wendy.
Somebody has texted us, can you imagine the groupies of this band, the Jailhouse Rockers?
Very nice. What would happen if you got wind of the fact that Rod heard these songs and went, you know what? We do have a band and we're always looking for material.
I would love it.
If you would do some of these,
that'd
be the ultimate compliment.
Send it to
him. Somebody wrote me to say that I wasn't taking Rod's suffering into account.
Oh, you're not.
In writing these. And yet, I actually think these are, in their way, sympathetic.
They are sympathetic.
So can I do one more?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Doing the whole songbook here.
Oh, my gosh.
It really would help if I could sing.
Yeah, I know. Well, tell, what song is it? And Kevin will look for it.
Hey, Dude. Hey, Jude.
For Hey, Jude, yeah.
Hey, Dude. Can you look for it?
Yeah. We can kill some time.
For some
here.
Reason, I think it's because the Beatles publishers are very protective. It's hard to find.
Right. Well, what about Blowing in the Wind? Because we have one to the tune
of God,
Blowing in the Wind.
Oh, my God. Let's folks it up a little bit.
That might be a little easier.
We got Hey Jude.
We do?
We got Hey Jude?
Yeah, you got to put some headphones on. That'll help you out.
Okay.
And I can't wait
for
the folk
song. Because I do feel a little sorry for your listeners just listening to my voice a cappella.
It's the content. It's the music they want to hear.
Okay.
You're fine. Here's Mary Schmick from the Tribune.
Y'all can sing along with me, you know.
I don't know that would help us.
What version is this?
Oh, you got to start over again. Kevin?
Hey,
it is?
Dude. Yeah. All right. Hey, dude, don't make me sad.
This is the worst karaoke version of it ever.
I'm not positive this is Hey Jude.
We're going back to a cappella. Hey dude, don't make me sad. Don't remind me when I was ruling. Remember when I was Governor Rod. Thought I was God, but who was I fooling? Hey dude, I'm not afraid. I was made to survive this jail cell. The minute I let it under my skin, then I'll begin to feel that I'm in hell. So any time I feel the pain, dude, I refrain from letting the world feel like a downer. For now I know the voting fools who loathed my rule. Those bozos are now stuck with Bruce Rauner.
Wow.
The official lyric is na 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 na.
Wow. Mary, several people want to know if Yoko Ono is going to break you up. That's impossible. She can't break you up. You're a person. That can't happen.
Should we take a break and come back with another one? Mary Schmeek is here. Column that is going to be dropping when? Tomorrow?
It's in the paper already. Paper today. Yeah.
All right. And we're talking about Rod Blagojevich and his band, the Jailhouse Rockers. And Mary Schmeek should send these songs to him, and perhaps they will be featured in a little documentary that somebody should make about this.
Possibly.
I think he could have some fun with
it. Oh, he would. He would. Mary Schmeek is here. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black.
God, I miss her. Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, I really do. She's great.
But there's a new songwriter in town.
Her name is
Mary Schmeek from the Chicago Tribune. All right. You have written some songs that you explain it.
Well, as we learned yesterday, our former governor, Rod Blagojevich, who is currently serving time in a Colorado prison, founded a band in prison called the Jailhouse Rockers, which raised the question, well, what does the band sing? So
sure.
I wrote some lyrics to some familiar tunes that I thought would be appropriate for the Jailhouse Rockers.
I have to say, in your honor, Mary, a lot of writers would have written one or maybe two, but you did, honestly, a full CD's worth.
Well, that's because I have an entire column to fill.
That's why.
You know?
All right, that's why.
You know, a thing people don't really understand about creativity, necessity is the mother of creation.
Yeah, it is.
All right, you have another one you wanted to do for us based on a Bob Dylan classic?
Yes. We got a little background music here.
Yeah, Kevin found this one on karaoke, and what do we need to know? Now, do you want Wendy or me or both of us to help you on the first line? What do you need to,
yeah,
just to get you going?
Yeah, can you do the first line?
Sure.
In All your right. best Bob Dylan?
Yeah, sure. All right,
we won't understand you then.
Right. It's going to be totally inaudible.
I just saw him, and you couldn't understand anything.
You'll see dogs start to gather outside the studio howling.
Howling.
That's
right.
All you'll see.
Or maybe people, your listeners, will think this is the dogs howling.
Right. All right.
All right, music. Cue music.
How many years must a Gov sit in jail
before he's allowed to be free? You have a better Bob Dylan.
How many tales must the jokers all tell
of what it is like to be me? Yes, and how many times must the voters go wrong before they will finally see the answer, my friends? It wasn't Patrick Quinn. The answer, it wasn't Patrick Quinn. How many years can Bruce Rauner go on presiding as if he were king?
It's like a real Bob Dylan show.
It is.
Oh, and Madigan too, and the other old boys who rule like a big buddy's ring. Yes, and how many times can they all kid themselves that I was a more evil thing? The answer, my friends, it isn't Bruce or Quinn. The answer, it isn't Bruce or Quinn. This is almost as long as a real Bob Dylan song. One more verse, one more.
One more. Yes,
how many years must a man stay locked up for saying just one bleeping curse? Oh, when will the voters admit since I've gone, this state, it has just gotten worse? Yes, when will they stop picking goofballs and jerks to mend Illinois' tattered purse? The answer, my friends, it isn't Bruce or Quinn. The answer, it isn't Bruce or Quinn.
Oh, Mary. Mary. Can I ask a selfish favor? Use the same voice.
Never sing again. Never sing again.
No. Use the same voice you used for Bob Dylan and just give me, "We represent the Lollipop Guild." I just want to hear if it sounds the way
we
I imagine.
We represent I can only do it on a Bob Dylan song.
That's all right.
All right.
At least Bob Dylan wasn't a great singer, so I don't have to be quite as apologetic about singing right. badly on that.
No, that's true. That's very true.
But he puts on a great show.
Yes.
He really does. Best. So does Mary Schmeek. All right. Yes. Probably time for one more. So you choose which one you want to do here.
Gov.
All right.
From the Beatles?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, we want music.
Okay. I need a little help on this one, though, because, you know, this really, really calls for a little bit of a chorus.
All right.
The problem with the music, though, is that I left some stuff out.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. Then you can't do the music on this one, Kevin. It wouldn't match up. And that would ruin the show.
It would ruin the show, really.
It already happened.
It would bring down the high musical caliber of this show.
Right.
Okay, so gov.
Gov.
All you need's the gov altogether. All you need's the gov
altogether.
Everybody.
All you need's the gov. The gov is all you need. Fade out. The gov is all you need.
Gov is all you need.
Gov is all you need.
She loves you. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
you know,
you're
Beatles.
You're listening to the Prairie Home Companion.
Yes,
you just
you
joined
are.
Us. Back from the dead. We decided.
I really apologize to
Don't apologize to the
ears of your listeners. I hope this is not.
This was very ambitious. How long did it take you to write all these song parodies?
Maybe, you know, 5 hours.
5 hours?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I had to find the songs that would work.
Sure.
And that was part of the trick.
Yep.
Like writing parody songs, huh?
I love
How about
writing
that?
Parody songs.
I might need some help. I'm working on one.
Okay.
It's the Bill Left theme song.
Yep.
Ooh. We'll have fun with it.
Let me know. The key to writing parodies is to just write the alphabet out. So you have the whole alphabet there. And then when you're looking for a rhyme, just go through the alphabet.
Oh.
You know, you're looking for a rhyme for boy, and you
dill,
go coy, yeah. doy,
yep.
loy, moy, noy.
Don't give out all your secrets.
Toy.
Everybody will be on this. Mary, thank you so much.
On behalf of not just us, but the former governor's office.
ChicagoTribune.com.
My friends, yes.
That's Mary Schmeek from the Tribune. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Judy Pylak has some song parodies she wants to share with us.
I could never, ever be as good as you.
No! Stick around. More next on WGN.